Violence flared in Iraq today, claiming the lives of 56 people. 22 died in suicide car bombings in the north aimed at a local police chief and a Sunni sheikh. A report just released by the White House says that al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report, titled National Strategy for Homeland Security, also said al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the United States. 3 heavy days of fighting in Pakistan's troubled tribal region have left 250 dead. Residents say dozens of women and children were killed in the latest airstrikes in the region bordering Afghanistan. The Supreme Court won't hear a lawsuit from a man who claims he was abducted and tortured by the CIA. The Bush administration did not acknowledge that Khalid El-Masri was detained and said state secrets would be revealed if the lawsuit were not blocked. This year's Nobel Prize for Physics has gone to a French and German scientist. The men are credited for independently discovering a physical effect which allows computer and digital devices to store large amounts of data on increasingly smaller hard drives. ConAgra Foods, the maker of Banquet Pot Pies, is investigating claims by several state health departments that its chicken and turkey pot pies may be linked to cases of salmonella. A spokesman for ConAgra says so far there have been no recalls. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Hi, I'm Brian Gingrich of Monterey Mattress Company. The only way to travel is by using the very best, and the very best in a major sleep product is any mattress from Monterey Mattress Company. Literally serving all parts of the world, we have been building the finest latex, foam, and innerspring mattresses for well over 20 years. Using our world-famous hotels as a measuring stick, you'll more often hear the name Monterey Mattress, as we supply over 100 resort hotels in this area. Far exceeding industry standards, these mattresses are available to you at factory prices. In addition to the local recognition, Monterey Mattress Company has been shipping beds worldwide to the many visitors who have experienced a great night's sleep here. This is the ultimate endorsement enjoyed by very few businesses. Monterey Mattress Company. We simply build the best, whether for your home or world-renowned resorts. Visit us today at 1714 Contra Costa in Sand City or on the World Wide Web at MontereyMattress.com. Sleep like a panda bear.
American Electric Power Company of Columbus, Ohio, was ordered to pay over $80 million in penalties and reduce emissions by at least 69% over the next 10 years. That was caused by spreading acid rain across the Northeast. British and French doctors have discovered that treating patients quickly for mini strokes cut the risk of a major stroke later. Researchers found that patients treated immediately had about a 2% chance of having a larger stroke in the next 3 months. More and more children are taking prescription drugs for heartburn and other digestive problems. Research shows there's been an increase of 56% since 2002. TiVo and music service provider Rhapsody are teaming up. Owners of the digital video recorder who have broadband-connected internet set-box tops will now be able to stream music from Rhapsody. Yum Brands, owner of Taco Bell, KFC, and Pizza Hut, posted a 17% increase in quarterly profits due to strong sales in China. Net income for the quarter increased to $270 million. Gold is trading up at $4.40 at $743. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $80.26 a barrel, and on Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 121 points at 14,164, and the NASDAQ was up 17. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. 6 minutes after the hour, and I fear that this evening I am breaking a promise to you. Yeah. I may have mentioned last night that somehow or another, you know, since I'm an old geek, my lumbago had gotten hold of me. My lumbago's acting up. I need some of the rheumatiz medicine. Granny? But no, seriously, I've got a lower back strain, sprain, hoosis, and it's been a really, really fun little bit. I mean, just an adventure in Don't Move Real Fast Bob. That's the name of that adventure. But I had promised you on numerous occasions in months and years past that I would never come on behind the microphone, you know, like Rush Limbaugh, whacked out of my mind. Well, I have now broken that promise. Well, I'm not whacked out of my mind, but I was down at the doctor's office today, and I got a little needle full of something kind of fun. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm sitting around whistling Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds or anything, but somehow life is a little lighter today. Life is a little brighter today.
What are you people, on dope?
Well, not exactly that, but then again...
I'm so wasted!
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I don't know, anything could happen tonight. So, just, you know, please bear with me. I'll do the best that I possibly can for an impaired liberal talk host. Agnes has already told me that I am forbidden from going out and using the family backhoe. No heavy equipment operation for Bob while under the influence of whatever this stuff is that's coursing through my body. Yep, that's right. And these are prescription drugs because I got them from a licensed medical professional. I didn't send the maid out with a cigar box full of money so she could bring me back 30,000 hits of OxyContin. Neither did I chew anything up for the refreshing burst of flavor. So, you know, just bear with me. I may be a little bit squirrely as we go through the program today. But, you know, we'll tonight, this evening, whenever. We'll get through it, though. Just you and me. Just fine. Fundraising update for the month of October. We are not quite to halfway to the $2,000 benchmark, but we're making some progress. So thank you. Thank you, one and all, who are working to keep this particular incarnation of independent media on the air. Thank you. Oh, let's see where to go. How about a little update before we get to Grim and Grievous. Back last Friday, I told you about the lady out in Utah who went to what was it? American Pass or National Junction, American Fork, Utah, to the Walmart Supercenter there, and she bought her some Sam's Choice green beans. Do you remember what was in the green beans? I do. This would be the place where we cue the theme from Ben. There was a rat's head in the green beans. Now, this story, because it's an update or a follow-up to the discovery of the rat's head in the green beans, whew, yeah, I don't care what you're on, rat's head in the green beans just isn't going to come out very well. It's just not nice. This is a segment of the program we might very well call People Who Are in the Wrong Job. The folks who canned the rat's head in the green beans are the Allen Canning Company. Okay? The Allen Canning Company. I've seen Allen's brand green beans on the store shelves here. I think this was an in-store brand, however. They must do the canning for Walmart. Low rat content every day. You recall that on a Sunday in late September or early October, I guess it was not. No, it was Sunday, the 30th of September. Marianne Watson opened the can of green beans to fix lunch for her family. And that's when she saw little Mickey's head poking out from the green beans. Oh, there's just no way to do this story without a big shiver running down your spine. And so she called Walmart, and Walmart told her to put it in the freezer in a plastic bag, and that it might take 2 years to resolve. Now, as I informed you, the idea behind that was to get her to wait more than 2 years and forget about it, and thereby have her statute of limitations run on being able to sue Walmart and the Allen Canning Company for the rodent-flavored green beans. But that is not where the story ends, friends. It is not where the story ends. Because Allen Canning Company has a spokesman named James Phillips, who gave a telephone interview to the Salt Lake Tribune and Brianna Lang, the writer there. And he said, James Phillips did, to Brianna Lang of the Salt Lake Tribune, and I quote, "There's no way that product could have hurt her. This rodent was rendered commercially sterile. We cook each can individually at a temperature up to 265 degrees. People who are in jobs they ought not be in. People doing the wrong job. You know, when you get caught selling cans of green beans with rodents in them, and you know, oh my God. I grew up watching Warner Brothers cartoons. You remember the two little chipmunks? Not the Disney guys, not Chip and Dale, the other two chipmunks, the ones who are more refined, who go through the canning factory because came and stole all of the stuff out of the garden, and you get the whole Warner Brothers industrial theme. Remember the industrial theme? Dun 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 dun. And at one point, the one little chipmunk has to open up all the cans to find his other chipmunk buddy, who then pops out just as happy as can be. Well, you see, that's not how it really works in the real world, because as James Phillips has reminded us, that rodent was subjected to 265 degrees of canning temperature as well as pressure. And the rat in the green beans was commercially sterile. Meanwhile, there at the Watson home, Marianne Watson received as what Walmart called a gesture of goodwill, a check for $100. It also came with a waiver of liability that she had to sign in order to get the $100 bucks, the $100 bribe. Mrs. Watson said, "Yeah, it's a $100 bribe. It's insulting, and I felt they were disingenuous. I felt like they're asking me to view them as good farmers, but they're just protecting their tails." Again, James Phillips, a guy who's doing the wrong job, responded by saying, "You can be assured that the people who've been hurt by this is us. She's trying to ruin us through the media." Mr. Phillips, I don't want to seem intrusive or anything, but Mrs. Watson didn't put the rat in the green beans. Buddy, you did. Your company did. The guy who signs your check every couple of weeks or whatever, that's where the rat got in the green beans. She's trying to ruin us through the media! And through it all, Mrs. Watson still says that she will not pursue legal action. I guess it's a Utah thing. The company sent a letter to Ms. Watson asking her to send the head of the rat to a lab to be tested. She said she may do it, but she's not going to send it to the one recommended by the company. See, if you ever happen to, by the way, just for the kind of stuff you need to know down the road, if you ever find, excuse me, if you ever find a rat or any part thereof or anything else in your green beans or your succotash or your sauerkraut or your the canned arugula or turnip greens, kale, collards, pork and beans, whatever, and the company says, send us the rat, rule one, do not send them the rat. Rule two, have your own testing done independently. Rule three, make sure that the testing on that, on said rat, is non-destructive and that some is left over. Because what will happen is if the corporation can get hold of the rat, they've got the evidence. Once they've got the evidence, you don't have a case! Now, Mr. James Phillips is another one of those people who has never been taught the first law of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. Because he went on and said that the incident is rare. You know, rats in green beans. And that the company produces millions of cans of food a year. Quote, if you would calculate the frequency of this on a calculator, it wouldn't fit because the number's so small. However, back in 2005, the Northwest Herald in McHenry County, Illinois, reported that a woman found an amphibian leg. That would be a frog leg. And it wasn't in a case of frog legs either. No, it was in a can of Allen green beans. Where the hell is this plant, you know? At the edge of a swamp? Brenda Eisenberg of Spring Grove, Illinois, found the frog leg, in November 2005. Allen Canning Company offered her $25, a gift pack, and a cookbook. Fun with frog legs! So, meanwhile, that's a frog leg in 2005, 2006 goes without incident, and in 2007, rat in the green beans. Meanwhile, Mr. Phillips says, if you would calculate the frequency of this on the calculator, it wouldn't fit because the number's so small. Dude, most of us have more than a three-digit calculator. That's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, divided by an amphibian, divided by a rat head. Yeah, that's 2 out of 3. I got plenty of room on my calculator for that, and the only way you can call that number small is because it's on the, you know, it's low-end prime numbers. Frog leg in 2005, rat in 2007, incident-free in 2006. That's 2 out of 3. And then there's the story at the top of the hour news. Turns out that ConAgra, that makes Banquet pot pies, has found out that its turkey and chicken pot pies may have a little extra something-something in it. Now, salmonella flavored. I know. I've done these stories before. But they bear a little bit of scrutiny. Because it says something about our country. Yum Brands, that owns KFC. I'm sorry, it's not even Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. It's just KFC. Yum Brands, that owns KFC and Taco Bell and what, Burger Thing and a couple of others, had a 17% jump in their share prices because people in China are just going hog wild over the Colonel's 7 herbs and spices, the crispy, creamy gordita, and the Whopper Jr. with cheese. This stuff all ties together. They'll do fine until they start finding amphibian limbs in their food in China, and they're not going to like it very much. By the way, if you've got any Allen's green beans or Sam's Choice or Wonderful World of Walmart green beans or whatever the hell it is, the tainted batch because, you know, there's an old joke out there. You know, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm? See, Mrs. Marianne Watson only found a rat's head in her green beans. That means somewhere out there, there's a can of green beans with a little rat foot and a little rat tail. A little rat torso. You get my meaning. And the batch that the rat head green beans came from was 34CG262162. 34 Charlie Gringo 262162. If by some quirk of fate you have that batch number on your green beans, don't worry about it. James Phillips says that any rat pieces inside are commercially sterile and safe for consumption. You reckon the president of the company's called James Phillips in on the carpet yet?
You told people there's rat in our food and it's safe to eat the rat?
Mother. Gee-many Christmas. Welcome in. What? Oh, my God. No, it's not funny anymore. It's just not funny. So that's where we start this evening. Also coming up here in a very few minutes, we'll go to a break. And during the break, I will make a quick telephone call. We're going to be joined by one of my favorite bloggers, Barbara O'Brien of Mahablog, MAHABLOG.com. And her latest posting regarding women's reproductive rights and issues in Central America. You thought rats in green beans were bad. Suffice to say, it does, in fact, get worse. The horror. So, you know, that's coming up, and I think you'll enjoy the conversation every bit as much as I will. Right now, however, it would appear there's a phone call, being as how I do not have a call screener. I can't be for certain that somebody's there, but let us, by all means, attempt to find out. See. Hate it when that happens. But, you know, what am I going to do? I'm a one-man band. So, you know, the rat green bean stories, you know, it's kind of humorous. But not really. Come on, admit it. You'd still be screaming. With the electric can opener. And you go over and you dump it in the pan and... Ha, ha, ha. You know, when Stuart Little comes sliding out. Because you know what? I'm not going to kid you. I'd scream. And the scream is not a rational response. It is wholly irrational. It's an assault on the senses. You pour the green beans out, you expect to see green beans. When something besides green beans comes out, you scream. It's all over me. So I apologize. So anyway, we will we'll come back and have a conversation with Barbara O'Brien. I think you'll enjoy it. You're listening to listener-supported, listener-maintained, independent conversation radio. Liberal conversation. The Head-On Radio Network, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of 6 or 7 different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
.630 on the dot, and we're back right here on Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I have told you in the past that one of my favorite reads as I'm traversing the series of tubes, the internets on a daily basis, is the Maha blog at Maha, M-A-H-A, mahablog.com. And the writer there is a woman by the name of Barbara O'Brien. She joins us now in regard to a recent posting touching upon something that can only be described as disturbing, horrifying, backward. Well, I'm sure there are other words, Barbara, but the issue of women's reproductive rights in places like Nicaragua, El Salvador, it's a horror, isn't it?
Well, it is a horror, and it's something that we need to be paying close attention to, because if you want to know what the anti-reproductive rights movement wants to do in America, you can look at Latin America and get a good look at it. I wrote yesterday about a situation in Nicaragua. Last November, Nicaragua passed a law that eliminated all exemptions to abortion, so that there are no exemptions even to save the life of the mother, none whatsoever. And it's estimated so far by human rights groups that at least 82 women have died who could have been saved, and there may be more. It's hard to tell.
And
some of these women have died in very horrible ways, hemorrhaging over a period of days. The Guardian article I linked to on my site spoke of a young woman who'd had an ectopic pregnancy, and since the doctors wouldn't end it, she had a couple of women in her village cut her open without anesthesia to try to end this pregnancy, and she died, which is a pretty grisly way to go.
Oh, my God. Now, we this is a pretty sharp, liberal, progressive audience, but let's not make any assumptions. An ectopic pregnancy, I had to learn this some years back. Being a guy, it's not something, you know, frankly,
yes,
that occurs to me. This is when an egg attaches anywhere but where it's supposed to,
right,
in one of the fallopian tubes, and they are killers.
Right. It's not going to ever be a baby. What happens is eventually it'll rupture and cause the woman to hemorrhage. And so the only way to save her is to remove the fetus. Usually, you know, they have to do surgery. I should say embryo, because it doesn't live long enough to be a fetus. But anyway, now, in the case of Nicaragua, the Nicaragua Ministry of Health said, well, they could have operated on this woman, but there's such a climate of fear there that the physicians were afraid to do it. There is a jail term for physicians and for women for getting abortions there, and it's gotten so rigid that young women who have natural miscarriages are afraid to go to doctors because they're afraid they'll be put into jail. So it's a really horrific situation that they've got going on there. And in several other places in Latin America, in which generally in Latin America abortion is not legal, although Nicaragua is unusually draconian about it, but the United Nations and other organizations estimate that approximately 5,000 women in Latin America die every year in back alley abortions.
Oh, my God. And what you said is so true, that this is it's sort of a microcosm of where the people who hate women and their insides want to take the United States. I forget what state it was, but I've seen arguments in favor of listing miscarriages
right,
with death certificates.
Oh, yeah. It really is frightening. And on top of that, you know, the more extremist anti-reproductive rights people in the United States, they also tend to be against birth control, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, which kind of leads you to wonder, what do they think people are going to do? In fact, and this is something I rant about frequently, actually, is there's no correlation worldwide. If you look at all the nations in the world and the rates of abortion in those countries and the laws in those countries, there is no correlation whatsoever between abortion rate and abortion laws. Making abortion legal illegal does not stop it. It does not even slow it down. Many nations in the world, and Latin America is an example, in which abortion is illegal, have higher rates of abortion than the United States. Conversely, there are nations in the world, and the Netherlands comes to mind, that have very liberal abortion laws that have lower abortion rates than the United States, and vice versa.
Well, we even saw
correlation.
We saw abortion rates go down in the 90s when attempts were made to better the living circumstances of the poor, the working poor.
Right.
And
I think that I don't know if there's anyone ever has done a complete study of exactly why this is true, but I'm sure culture has a lot to do with it. Access to birth control is the biggest one. Places in where most of the population are open about using birth control, and I'm sure this is true of the Netherlands, have very low abortion rates because there's very little unwanted pregnancy, you see.
Sure.
And conversely, places where, you know, and also younger people are more likely to be careful and avoid getting pregnant too early, which is, you know, poverty for some reason tends to cause people to not have access to birth control. There are all kinds of factors that lead into this, that cause these differences. And yes, the rate of abortions did go down in the 90s. I don't know if it's going up or down right now. I haven't heard. But, you know, the one sure way to run it up again is to start making it difficult for people to get birth control.
Now,
do it.
And the horror of the Nicaragua situation? And what are the Nicaragua, El Salvador,
and Chile, I think, is the other one that has done this.
And again, to reiterate, no exceptions whatsoever.
No exceptions. So that if a 12-year-old girl is raped by her uncle, she cannot get an abortion.
Or in the cases of, say, a massive hydrocephalic pregnancy that will literally split the mother in twain.
There are all kinds of things that can go wrong in a pregnancy. And we're very fortunate in this country that it's a, you know, where you have middle-class women in America generally good prenatal care. Poor women do not. And so there's a much higher rate of infant mortality among the poor in this country. But, you know, we don't think about how dangerous pregnancy is here, but particularly in places where the medical care is a little scarcer, it can be quite dangerous sometimes, and things can go wrong, even in the best of circumstances. And sometimes you really do have to stop a pregnancy to save the mother's life. It is not extremely common thing. You may live your whole life without knowing anybody who's had that circumstance, but it does happen.
Certainly it does. It's I take it, Barbara, that it's sort of the sacred cow or the 800-pound gorilla in the room that people are less than willing to talk about why these laws have made it onto the books. But we're not like that here. we poke 800-pound gorillas with sharp sticks here.
Okay.
The church is driving this.
Well, yeah. I mean, in Nicaragua, the government itself has not been all that, you know, the government in Nicaragua prior to this had not been all that bad about its policies toward women, I understand. But definitely it was the Catholic Church, and also there are a lot of evangelicals down there who whipped up a bunch of support for passing this law. And none of the major medical associations supported it. They all tried to stop it. The United Nations sent a delegation to try to stop it. The legislatures would not speak to them. Here in this country, there's a organization called Concerned Women for America you've probably heard of.
Oh, yes.
Lynn Cheney belongs to it.
But it's run by a guy.
They're very much opposed to reproduction rights, and they actually sent out news releases complaining that the United Nations is trying to interfere with the law in Nicaragua because they tried to send someone there to speak to the legislatures about why this is a bad idea. But the legislature wouldn't meet with them anyway, so it doesn't matter. People just got it in their heads. Apparently, for some reason, they wanted to, I guess it was a politically expedient thing to do, to get on the good side of the church. And so this is what they did. And so now, and of course, what's going on now is that the women who are die, there's always a lot of denial. Oh, well, it wasn't really the law. And you know how it is.
Sure. But Barbara, the fact of the matter is, Pope Benedict has opined on this matter, particularly with Nicaragua.
Yes.
And
yes,
he has.
Just recently, in September, in fact, I found a press release from the,
Catholic News Agency?
Catholic News Agency that said, the Pope had praised Nicaragua for its respect for life. So, what can you do?
We talk about these right-wing crazies, and they're crazies, Barbara.
Yeah.
We sort of talk about them in a sort of analytical, looking at freaks in a carnival sideshow sort of a way. But this is a guy who professes a reverence for life, who said it was very positive.
Mm-hmm.
That the Nicaraguan National Assembly made sure that women with ectopic pregnancies have to die.
Yeah, well, he didn't say that specifically, but...
Yeah,
I mean, that's where they were going. I think this is a huge subject. Now, it so happens I'm religious myself, but I'm a Buddhist, so that's a whole different thing. I tend to respect religion, but I also believe wholeheartedly in separation of church and state. It's the only. It's better for religion, and it's better for government also. And the thing with these anti reproductive rights policies is that it doesn't acknowledge the realities of women's lives. You know, it treats women as if we were sort of hypothetical, you know, or just archetypes of goodness or badness. And the idea is, oh, well, we'll force these women to have all these babies and somehow it'll all turn out all right. But, you know, it doesn't always turn out all right.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I'm very much, you know, I'm being a guy, I figure as soon as I've got a uterus, I'll have a dog in the fight.
Bless you, sir.
But, you know, for me, if you're going to come down on any, if you're going to at least try to understand any of these people,
mm-hmm.
I've always kind of looked at the Roman Catholic Church and said, well, you know, they're kind of cradle to grave on it because
yeah.
they, you know, they oppose the death penalty and they want you to be there to get your, you know, get your cracker at the end. And, you know, they want the baby born, and they don't want it executed later, and they oppose unjust wars, and it's rather, at least until now, a consistent position.
Mm-hmm.
But this business of coming out, and there's a value judgment here, isn't there, Barbara?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
The baby, the fetus, the little blastocyst is more important than the living woman?
Yeah, I mean, that's where it comes down to for me. I mean, you have to... At some point, sometimes you do have to make a choice, and I think that in many cases, the religious who have not been exposed to these things, maybe in some level they're not allowing themselves to acknowledge that this really happens. I think sometimes that's what it is. They just kind of shut it out of their minds. They have this idea of how the world is supposed to be, and they don't want to deal with the way it really is sometimes. And which is, you know, if you want to live your own life that way, you know, go for it. Good luck. But when you start to go to governments of countries and saying, okay, we want you to write laws that reflect our personal vision of the way the world is supposed to be, then, you know, we got a problem here. And I personally have strong feelings about the nature of compassion, that you cannot be a truly compassionate person if your compassion is one-sided. You know, if it's all for the fetus, but you have a cold heart for the woman and say, well, she has to die because that's how it is. This is not compassion, and it's not morality to me. And again, if the Catholic Church wishes to teach its followers that this is what they want to do, their business, but you
right.
just don't do, you don't write laws like that. Ultimately, it has to be the woman's decision. Of what she's going to do, and there are, and any woman in her life. I'm very fortunate that I have. I never had an abortion myself. I had two pregnancies, and I had two healthy babies, and now I have two adult children, and I consider myself very lucky. But the any woman can appreciate. I think that there's a time when you look at yourself in your life and say, "I cannot be pregnant now. No way. I can't deal with it. It's not going to happen." And if that's the case, then that's her decision, you know. She has
sure
to be
is.
Able to deal with, to follow up on that.
And you know, I said a minute ago, and I was kind of flip, Barbara, but, you know, that I don't have a dog in the hunt. But the fact of the matter is, I do. Because even though my wife and I are done having kids, we've got four little ones, as a male, we have to understand, because so much of the discussion is rightly centered on a woman's right to choose, I think that men, in a way, can overlook something, and that is that if the anti-woman crowd in the United States, the
mm-hmm.
concerned women for America and the right-wing religion industry and everything, get their way, they're not. It's not Roe versus Wade that they have to attack. Roe versus Wade is an outgrowth of Griswold versus Connecticut.
Right.
And it's Griswold versus Connecticut that establishes the right to privacy. And it is
right.
not a female right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
It is a human right to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it centers on what you mentioned early in our discussion, birth control,
exactly.
not abortion. And birth control encompasses, of course, pills, sponges, patches,
mm-hmm.
and condoms.
Mm-hmm.
And so a man's right to choose is involved here as well, because it is his, it's a matter of his right to acquire a condom if he so chooses, because that's the only step that a man can take in the choice to reproduce or not.
Right. And absolutely.
And we've got, you know, we've got a state like Alabama. I've been hammering on them a little bit lately over their sex toy ban that was upheld or refused to be heard by the Supreme Court of the United States. Mm-hmm. If a state like Alabama will say that you cannot buy a device designed primarily for genital stimulation, that's the language of the law, then how hard will it be for one of those same right-wing freaks to say, and you can't get no rubbers neither?
Oh, well, you know, a lot of them want to do that. Now, I don't know what percentage of those movements do, but it's also true that, as somebody pointed this out to me and I checked and I found out it was true, all of the major anti-abortion, anti-reproductive rights organizations in the United States, not a single one of them supports the use of birth control.
No, because they...
of them are just don't say anything about it. They just are just quiet on the subject, but none of them say, "Oh, it's better for you to use birth control." They're and so this is something people really need to understand. And personally, you know, if it were up to me, I think that the enormous majority of Americans, if we get the whack jobs out of the way, we could sit down and probably come up with an agreement on what it is we need. I mean, I'm personally, having been through a couple of pregnancies, can appreciate that maybe I'd be willing to, say, acknowledge a gestational limit on elective pregnancy as long as it's not set too early, if that would make everybody happy. Most women who have elective abortions, the enormous majority of it is in the first trimester, and like 99% of it, I think, is before the 15th week. So after that, it's probably mostly medical. But they will never compromise, you know. They never will.
And I was going to bring that up when you said if we could just get the loonies out of the room.
Out of the way, I think we could come up with a solution that the enormous majority of Americans would probably live with.
But it's an industry, Barbara.
It is an industry, and it's almost a cult, really. They have, they've gotten people whipped up now with this, with rhetoric about the evils of abortion to the point that people are obsessed with it, and you know it's gotten beyond the point that you can speak to them rationally. They come by my website every now and then and want to argue, and they're so brainwashed, and you really can't talk to them at all. And they really believe that women who have abortions are all selfish and evil, and that the world would, and that if all abortions were stopped, the world would be a happy place, and that if abortions were illegal, there wouldn't be any. Which, and you can't tell them otherwise.
Well, I forget if it was Tom Tancredo or one of the other second-tier Republican presidential candidates who said if abortion had not been legalized in 1973 under Roe versus Wade, that we wouldn't be needing all this illegal immigrant labor, because we'd have 30 million American babies out there picking lettuce.
Oh, my God. Well,
I mean, it's got a kind of a eugenic flavor, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, and particularly since there were migrant workers picking lettuce before Roe v. Wade, but never mind.
And
it really does. I mean, when I hear things like that, I mean, it makes, what do you think we women are? Are we brute animals, or are we supposed to go out in the pasture and drop so many calves?
At this point, it's all the good earth where Wang Lung's wife has the baby in the field and keeps on picking cotton or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. It's, it really is a devaluing of the role of women. Recently, too, and this is something Digby pointed out, there were some recent editorials in major newspapers written by people about how about the immorality of abortion and how it's just wrong, and they managed to write these editorials, and you have to look for them. I linked to a few that don't mention the woman at all. It's like women don't exist to them. It's all, oh, well, the fetus is this, and life begins here. And
yeah, and the woman is just the chrysalis from which the butterfly emerges.
Right. She's like a candy wrapper, you know. I mean, it's just, she doesn't exist at all. And it's, you have to watch them, you know. They really, ultimately, you know, as a mother myself, I get, you know, nothing gets me all blubbery and warm inside than babies. I, you know, right now I'm waiting for grandchildren. I have no prospects. So
well, see, we got our first one last spring, and
oh,
the world turned upside down in this house. and you know, all of a sudden, we raised our kids, and it was like a war zone in the house. And my wife and I made a determination that, you know, these guys have no seniority, and, you know, we're not going to tiptoe around, and they have to learn to live in a noisy, busy household. That all changed. Shh, the baby's asleep. You know, because it's granny's first.
It's the baby, yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
So you know, I'm completely conversant with that, but the. Words like hypocrisy are too thin a bowl of soup to describe what's going on here.
It really is. There's I don't know. Certainly, there's some sort of personality syndrome that goes on here, and it's all tied up with right wing ideas.
Well, there's a boatload of misogyny involved.
There is a boatload of misogyny, and it all comes down to sex. I mean, the extreme right wing, if you look at it, just about everything that pushes their buttons has to do with sex or death. You know?
Yeah.
One way or another.
Well, their fascination with weddings and marriages and gay people and things like that.
Exactly.
You know, they hearken back to a day when a wedding was literally a property transfer, and I suspect if you gave them a few shots of old Overholt or something, you know, they'd confess that, you know, they like that property transfer part.
Oh dear, it's all sex and death with them. I mean, it's mostly sex, but then if we remember the Terry Schiavo flap, that was death, and so these are the only two issues that matter, and heaven forbid that we would start to pick our politicians based on ideas they might have about running a government.
Or something as, you know, out there as, you know, brains.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the reasons why America is becoming dysfunctional.
Sure.
You know, what's our criterion for choosing our leaders? Oh, he wants to stop abortion. That's good. He can't legislate his way out of a wet paper bag and has no idea
but he's going to stop abortion, and he's opposed to medical marijuana.
There you go.
Oh, and Lord.
And so that if that's how we're choosing our leaders, the only thing I can say is that I sincerely believe that a whole lot of people out here in real world land are getting real tired of that.
And we may see that manifested in 2008 because
I hope so.
The 10 little idiots on that are running for the Republican nomination can't seem to garner any buzz from anybody. James Dobson had an open on the air sort of Jimmy Swaggart moment with Sean Hannity the other night, talking about in no way would he support Rudy Giuliani, and mm-hmm. Fred Thompson was just not his man. I love mm-hmm. the terms they use. Not he ain't my man. Segue into Porgy and Bess. You know, Bess, you is my woman now. But I hope it's swinging back, because the other side of this is that the Republicans have to have abortion.
Yeah, well, they've got themselves.
It's the only way they can get the knuckle draggers out to the booth.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. This is what they've done for a long time. Is they've put together a coalition of people who are. You know, I call them whack jobs, but let's say, you know, factions. Well, we will call them factions. We've got the racist faction, and we've got the afraid of sex faction, and we've got various other little factions with, you know, they're afraid that Democrats are going to take their guns away from them. And frankly, Democrats have pretty much conceded the gun issue. Nobody's even talking about it anymore. But we have these little factions, and the Republicans have been winning elections by scaring these people and thinking, oh, you have to go to the poll and vote for Republicans, or the Democrats are going to you know, take your guns away from you and make your daughter marry a black man and get abortions.
And eat your Bible.
And eat your Bible, yes. Oh, yes. And so they've been getting away with this, but I think they're finally gotten to a point that now that that it's turning into a lodestone around their neck. You know, if they can't win elections without these people, but can they win elections with them? Because I really do think that the enormous majority of Americans, at least outside the South, are really disgusted by it. Now, I grew up in rural Missouri, which is southern Missouri is as Bible Belt as you come.
Sure.
And so I understand that culture very well. Now, I live near New York, and it's like a different universe. But I think even people back home are getting a little disgusted with the government. They want a government that actually governs, that really works, that does something useful once in a while.
That shows up when New Orleans floods.
I think New Orleans really hit people in the head. I really do. I think that we're still... I think that the Democrats haven't done as much as they could to capitalize on that. But I think people are really still worried about that. I think it opened a lot of eyes.
Well, Barbara, I know your time is short for you, and I really appreciate you coming on short notice. Tell us just a little bit about the Maha blog, please, because I forget when I first read it, but I was just blown away by the quality of the writing. And not only that, the quality of your respondents on your blog.
Oh, yeah. I have smart responders, I have to say, but that's because I run off people who are stupid. I'm kind of a comment Nazi, I have to admit.
That's
fine. You know, because I have to live with this blog all the time, so anyone who really annoys me, I tend to chase off. But, yes, the URL is www.mahablog.com. It's easy to find. And it's mostly me. I have a couple other people who post now and then. But I get up every morning and start writing about whatever pisses me off. And so we go the gamut from politics. And sometimes I go into reproductive rights, and sometimes I write a lot about religion also.
Well, you know, the one that grabbed me that I spent a good bit of time on maybe a month or more ago was the Darmok and Jalad post. That thing just grabbed me and danced me around the room. One, because I love...
I got a lot of comments on that, I have to admit. But it just struck me, this is what you have to deal with right-wingers, is that they don't deal with actual facts, you know. They deal with myth. They deal with code words. And there's a book I'm reading now. Oh, I can't remember the name of the author, but you've heard of the book, Deer Hunting with Jesus.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so I'm reading that right now, and he says the same thing. You know, you don't talk about facts. You just, you know, there are certain code words that you give to people, like entitlement. Oh, we can't have entitlements because, you know, that's bad. And it just, people have been
conditioned
to react. Welfare, exactly.
You know, we can talk about welfare, and they've done a very good job of creating the image, you know, creating the image of a big black woman getting out of a late model Cadillac, wearing a fur, and going in and buying $900 worth of groceries on food stamps.
Right.
That's not the reality.
It's not the reality. It's not the reality at all. You know, and being someone from the Ozarks, I know a whole county full of white people on welfare, but never mind.
You're talking to West Virginia here, Barbara.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
Well, you know what
I got the memo.
About.
Yeah.
And so it's, but the people who are desperately poor, who have no chance of getting ahead, who are just working their butts off just to stay in the same place, just to keep their, you know, one paycheck away from disaster. And these are the people who have been conditioned to think that they cannot, that it's wrong to ask the government for anything. And it's their government.
It's their money. Well, I mean, George Bush is the one that ran around the country saying, hey, it's your money.
Yeah, well, it's their government. The government of the people, by the people, for the people. That's what it's for, is to for people to get together and solve problems that they can't solve by themselves or that they can't solve through the private market or other means. That's what the government is for. And we've got people conditioned to think that they can't use their own government, that they just have to, that they're entirely on their own and to solve their own problems, and if grandma gets cancer and they have to sell the house to pay for a chemotherapy, then that's just too bad. But, you know, universal health care is wrong, so we can't have it. It's socialism. And I don't know what it's going to take to reach out to people and say, no, don't, it's your government, you know.
Well,
you can use it.
For starters, and we are running out of time, and I know you've got somewhere you've got to be, but it's part of the reason that what we do here is what we do. I mean, I'm a redneck. I'm a Southern, born and bred, Alabama, West Virginia connections. And we've got to have people who can go down and talk on the courthouse square,
mm-hmm.
And speak the language. The mm-hmm. folks, you know, those folks in Southern Missouri don't want to take marching orders from somebody with a and I'm not trying to denigrate anybody, but Southern folk and Hill folk don't like to take orders from somebody with an up east accent.
Oh, sure, and I appreciate that, and you know. Sometimes I would like to be in a position to be able to go home and talk to people and say, look, you know, this is what we're going to do. And I think sometimes, how can I do that? I mean, I'm living here and I write my blog. I don't know who I'm reaching. But I know exactly. It takes people like you and me to talk to people from our background. And, you know, in the Ozarks, I'm related to half of those people. Are you kidding?
Oh, I remember when Abercrombie and Fitch put out the T-shirt that said, West Virginia, it's all relative. We didn't take too kindly to that here.
But, yeah, 'cause I've had family there since before the Civil War, so I'm really related to all of them now. But, you know, I understand how they think, and I understand what their lives are like. And I think that, you know, the Democrats have a way to go to try to appreciate how to run on these issues. Some of them have caught on and some haven't, but we got a lot of work ahead of us, son.
We do, and I tell you what, I'm tickled to death to know that that you're one of those that are out there doing the work, because there's a lot of blogs out there, Barbara, and in this business at least I try to read a bunch, and I've narrowed it down to a list of some that I do and some that I don't. And the writing that I get from the Maha blog is consistently quality, consistently well thought out, reasonable, reasoned. And again, my kudos to your readers, because one of the most frustrating things about the blog, about a lot of blogs, is you get done with the post, and it's like everybody wants to be David Letterman. But
yeah.
people responding to your posts are really, really thinking. And
yeah, I got the best readers. I do. I thank you for them, and I'm going to pass on your compliment. The ones I hope they're listening, but I'll definitely pass it on.
Well, Barbara, it's a pleasure. I hope we will talk again. And anytime the bee's under your bonnet, by all means, feel free to drop me a note, and we'll have a little chat.
Okay.
All right. Take care. Barbara. Thank you very much. Bye bye. Barbara O'Brien, the Maha Blog. MahaBlog.com, and that is not idle compliment. This is smart writing. This is good writing. This is stuff that you won't. This is stuff that you, and that's the beauty of a great blog. It's stuff that you will not see somewhere else. This particular story that we started off talking about, it's headlined "Killer Law." And I got it from, I was alerted to it, I should say, by one of our news ninjas. Texas Betsy sent it along to me. And I read it, and when I got to the part about the ectopic pregnancy and the woman who had to die because of an ectopic pregnancy, my jaw dropped. Because even though you know that you live in this kind of a world, when you read direct evidence of it, and you look at the calendar and it still says 2007 and not 1407, you have one of those Billy Pilgrim moments and you come unstuck in time and the little birds outside on the tree branch going, "Pootie wheat." You know what I mean? What a world, what a world. What a world, what a world. We're a little bit late for it, but we'll go to the news. Come back with your phone calls, your thoughts, my thoughts, and, you know, the general craziness that is any given evening right here on America's Liberal Voice on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid. Stick around.
Crazy, I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue. I knew you'd love me.
This is a Quality News Network. A private security firm in Baghdad opened fire on a car in an intersection, killing two Iraqi women today. Iraqi officials say a Dubai-based Unity Resources Group, a private security firm employing U.S., British, and Australian personnel, was involved. Both the government and the company launched investigations into the incident. The shooting comes at a particularly tense time when the Iraqi government is requesting that security firm Blackwater USA pay $8 million to each of the families of the victims killed in a shootout in September. Violence in Iraq killed at least 56 people today. 19 died in suicide car bombings in the north aimed at a local police chief and a Sunni sheikh. A report just released by the White House says that Al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report, titled National Strategy for Homeland Security, also said Al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents in the U.S. 3 days of intense fighting between Pakistani forces and insurgents along the Afghan border has killed at least 250 people. Residents say Pakistani airstrikes killed women and children. Some 50,000 locals have fled the area. In Sudan, reports that 50 people were killed in a government-backed attack could mean the pullout of the only Darfur rebel leader to sign a peace agreement. Another rebel group made similar claims of attacks. An Amnesty International official says the Sudanese army may be trying to attack the area ahead of next month's scheduled peace talks. Authorities in Spain suspect ETA in a car explosion today that injured a local legislator and a bodyguard. The blast in the Basque city of Bilbao comes just days after separatists warned of more violence due to renewed crackdowns by authorities. This year's Nobel Prize for Physics has gone to a French and German scientist. The men are credited for independently discovering a physical effect allowing computer and digital devices to store large amounts of data. Their work led to the miniaturized hard disk. And a government panel recommends irradiators be removed from U.S. hospitals because people fear terrorists could access their radioactive materials to make dirty bombs. Union members negotiating with Chrysler have reached a tentative agreement. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers. They're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
The U.S. Explorer spacecraft New Horizons has sent back images of rings around Jupiter, huge swirling storms on the planet's surface, and lightning strikes at the poles. The craft is on its way to Pluto. NASA released its findings in today's journal Science. British and French doctors have discovered that treating patients quickly for mini strokes may cut the risk of major stroke later. Researchers found patients treated immediately had only about a 2% chance of having a larger stroke in the next 3 months. A mild winter may be in the offing, but across the nation, it'll cost more to heat U.S. homes. A U.S. Energy Department report out today estimates heating oil costs will jump 22% and natural gas will rise 10%.
A new study shows that Google is the choice of most Internet users searching for something on the web. ComSource reports that in August, more than 37 billion searches worldwide, or 60%, were done with Google. Many 2009 General Motors vehicles will be made with new technology that will allow stolen cars to be slowly brought to a halt using remote control. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.26 a barrel. Gold is at $743.10 an ounce. The Dow was up 120 points to close at 14,164. The NASDAQ was up 17 and the S&P up 13. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Well, minutes after the hour. So the hour's a little squirrely. Tell the guys at Clear Channel to fight me. That's the beauty of independent internet-based media. We ain't kissing nothing and nobody's no how. Those poor suits at Clear Channel and Premier Radio and everything that have to deal with the likes of Sean the Cleveland Steamer Hannity and Rush the Rusty Trombone Limbaugh. Really enjoyed that conversation. Hope you did as well. Let's go to the phones right now, though. Our good friend Kevin is calling from the D.C. area. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I was wondering, by the way, I agree with her totally, 100%, but I was wondering, what if, like, we progressives or Democrats or any politician out there was to really call the conservative bluff and let the states decide the abortion issue and clear it off the table.
Well, see, I was thinking about the very same thing, Kevin, because, and you know, further proof that great minds think alike. You know, Ron Paul, who has, with some, it's something approaching witchcraft what he does, that he's got a bunch of progressives out there thinking that he's some sort of knight in shining armor when he's just another right-wing snake oil salesman. He says that I disagree with abortion, but I believe Roe versus Wade should be overturned, and it's a states' rights issue. I don't know about you, Kevin, but every time I hear states' rights, the little hairs stand up on the back of my neck.
It does for me, too, but on this one issue, because the reality is that only two states may even pull it off, Mississippi and Utah, maybe.
Oh, come on, Mississippi. You think Alabama wouldn't criminalize abortion in a heartbeat?
Them too, but, you know.
Tennessee, South Carolina. Well, South Carolina'd have it gone in a minute. North Carolina wouldn't be far behind it.
Only states would actually pull it off.
The Confederacy.
You know, it's like, I think deep down, like, most conservatives are afraid, or most states that attempt to sway Republican wouldn't even touch it if we were to finally call their bluff on it. It's like the same thing with the immigrant issue.
Well, I think it was well over a year ago that Ben Burch and I were discussing this, and, you know, every now and then we get a little frustrated and we say, you know, screw them, let them have their way. And then you know what we have to do? We have to build something that is something no less than an exact duplicate of the Underground Railroad. And the Underground Railroad will run from Mississippi and Alabama, Tennessee, Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas, to civilized states where people can provide reproductive health services for poor women. It's amazing, but it's true. I mean, that's what would have to develop if those states went backward in time, the 50, 100, 150 years. You got to remember, Kevin, that in Texas, when they had their defense of marriage constitutional hoosis a couple of years ago, you got to remember that even though the Klan came out in support of banning gay marriage, upstanding, moral, righteous, holier-than-thou, in the church every time they turn the locks on the doors, white and Latino Texans that called themselves conservative ran to the polls even though they knew they were voting with the Klan.
Jeez.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, well, hey, you know, you can't isolate the abortion issue because I guess it's good to give in and just say, look, here, have your way, get this off the table. Because put it to this way, any state that I'm in or that I choose to be in is going to have abortion.
But okay. Yeah. But let me take it. Let me go to the next step with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
If we came to some sort of an entente with the freaks and agreed that it was a states' rights issue, the first thing that would happen is the Confederacy would go anti-abortion. Abortion would become illegal in every state south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Not Florida.
Maybe not. Maybe not Florida.
Maybe not Georgia. Maybe
yeah,
not
Georgia.
Black.
Sure, sure.
Not Virginia.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Georgia would go. Georgia would go. But then...
In a city like Atlanta?
Sure. Because
the power bases,
Atlanta voted overwhelmingly for John Kerry and for Al Gore. Okay, George Bush still won Georgia. All right, very few people get the trivia question right when you know you're sitting around, you've had a few beers, and you're playing trivia and whatnot, and you say, "What's the largest state in the Union east of the Mississippi?" People go, "New York, Michigan, Pennsylvania, no, Georgia." Okay, there's a whole lot of redneck dirt ears outside Cobb and DeKalb and Fulton counties. But let's go one step further, if you don't mind, because I think this is kind of an important analysis. Assume that the Confederacy, barring Florida, criminalizes abortion, and assume that that also includes Texas, Oklahoma, probably Arizona, Idaho certainly would, Wyoming, sure. Now, what's going to happen? Are we going to have an entente with the freaks where they're going to agree to leave us alone in New York and Connecticut and Vermont and New Hampshire and the California and Washington and Oregon and so forth? You think that? No, they're never going to let up. They don't have an off day, Kevin. We can't let them have their way because with them, it's their way or the highway. All the forces that they mustered to criminalize abortion in Mississippi say it's a risk game, okay? It's the same as a risk board. Once they've got that many that they don't have to worry about anymore, they will take their caravans and their Winnebagos and their RVs and their fifth wheels and their dead baby billboards, and they'll be in California, and they'll stay there until they've browbeaten the people of California out of women's reproductive rights, and then, like some sick virus, they'll move on to the next state. Maybe it's Oregon, maybe it's Washington, maybe it's New York. But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess so. It's just that, I think a lot of times we need to call the conservative bluff. Which is, it's like, as, bigoted as Lou Dobbs and Pat Buchanan is, especially to brown immigrants, they really want Mexicans to come here, because the reality is, I seriously doubt if Lou Dobbs is going to pay humanitarian wages to his lawn cutter.
Oh, no, look, if Lou Dobbs and Pat Buchanan could have their way, and this isn't much in the way of hyperbole, Kevin, they'd be fine with Mexican immigration if they were if their first step in America was onto an auction block.
Or I think the real issue with Lou Dobbs or Pat Buchanan is that they just don't want them living around there close to them.
NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Exactly. It's not even...
Unless they're mowing it.
Yeah. And even then, they want them out by sundown.
Oh, yeah. Don't let the sun set on you here.
Yeah.
Get back across the tracks.
Yeah. And to me, it's just, I wish, and I know this is like a huge imagination sometimes, but I wish all the Mexicans would just go just to call their bluff and see how life would be extremely difficult and more expensive for them.
Yeah, well, I wish... I wish the Mexican worker, Mexicans, they're not Mexicans, they're south of the borders, the Mexican, Guatemala, Ecuador, everything. And what, 40% of the illegals in this country are Irish and Czech and Russia and so forth, but we never hear about the white illegals either.
Oh no.
But if the people who are swabbing our toilets and mowing our lawns and working for $5 doing construction would all just refuse to do it,
this country would come to a shutdown.
Yeah, this country would grind to a dadgum halt.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder at times. And, you know, the third issue you talked about, how people from Appalachia or wherever don't like to be told what to do by Northeasterners. Guess what? They are being told to do by Northeasterners. Just because you bought a pile of dirt in a trailer in Texas doesn't necessarily make him a Texan. He's good at impersonating a Texan.
No, and having a red truck doesn't make Fred Thompson a Tennessean.
Well, Fred Thompson, I don't care. I'm not even taking him seriously as a candidate because the reality is he's just beefing up his resume so he can go back to his lobbying circle, for instance, expand his career. You know, it's just some of these people you just got to totally count out whether or not they truly, you know, running for president, and there's running for president and there's running for president. And just because one runs for president, that doesn't necessarily mean they want to be president.
Yeah.
You know, people run for president for other motives. And Fred Thompson, you know, I don't care. He doesn't want to be president. I bet you Gordon.
No, well, yeah, it's like his wife compelled him to or something. Yeah.
Yeah, right. But I bet you if Gore gets in a couple of days, you're going to see a lot of these candidates drop out like flies. You know,
I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'm convinced at this point that Gore is not getting into the race.
Well, we'll see by the end of the week, within the next month or so, whether or not he does. You know, the next.
I expect him. Susan asked me last night, Kevin, about what I thought of his chances with the Nobel Peace Prize. I think he should be a shoe-in. And, man, that's gonna put a stone in George Bush's shoe. And we'll have to deal with... how uncomfortable would that be for George Bush to sit there and have to constantly dodge inviting the Nobel Peace Prize winner to the White House? I mean, my God, Desmond Tutu won it. He came to the White House. On and on and on. But I don't see it. I don't see it. And I don't know. Maybe it's the collective power of prayer of Senator Clinton and Senator Obama and former Senator Edwards, all on their knees every night saying, "Dear Jesus, please don't let Al run," because they all know that they're toast the minute he gets in.
Well, I think, except for Edwards, you know, then it'll become who will be the next vice president.
Well, see,
who will be the next vice president?
I could get really, really excited about a Gore-Edwards ticket.
Yeah, or even a Gore-Obama or a Gore-Clinton.
Well, you know, Obama just went down the ladder another rung for me today. It came out from David Sirota, and it was forwarded to me by our good friend Cindy out in the shadow of Mount St. Helens in Washington. Obama says he will vote for NAFTA expansion to Peru.
Well, I always felt Obama isn't really serious about being president. He's running for vice president. You know, progress can only happen in small doses in certain parts of the country, and, you know,
is that what we're sort of being fluffed for or groomed for, is a Senator Clinton, Senator Obama ticket?
No, absolutely not. There's just certain people who are not going to vote for a woman or a black as president. And this is why.
Do you think Obama would accept a vice presidential bid from Senator Clinton?
In a heartbeat. You know, I think he would. You know, this country, and, you know, I'm an African-American. I'll tell you this, you know. This country, the more I travel and see what's out there outside of the Northeast and certain big cities or whatever, this country is not psychologically, it's not, they're not ready to have a woman or African American as president.
We've got the Coast Guard investigating nooses in African American seamen sea bags.
Exactly.
No, and any more than it was ready for Joe Lieberman to be vice president.
Well, Joe Lieberman, you know, yeah, exactly. And thank God he never, you know, he didn't get it. That was, you know, Gore kind of shot himself in the foot with that one.
Well, that was all about Florida.
Yeah.
And they knew that they weren't going to get Alabama or Georgia or Mississippi, anywhere that they'd say, I ain't voting for no Jew. You know, that was so they could go ahead and hope that that would carry Florida, and then they got screwed with the voting machines. So, yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, Kevin, it's good to talk to you, my friend. I'm going to roll on to a couple more calls.
Okay, then.
You take care. Thanks for the ideas.
Okay.
Bye now. And let's see. Let's roll on and see who we've got here. Is it going to be a beep, beep, beep? Hello, who have I got?
Hi, this is Matt Osborne calling.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Doing just fine down here in Alabama. It's still warm.
Well, you know, we had 85 here today in the hills.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how dry of a year we've had, though. And I still hear from everybody around here, I hear people saying, oh, global warming, that's not real. I'm starting to think that maybe we're experiencing the new normal. Dry, extremely hot. We had record heat in August. We had 12 solid days of 100-plus degree temperatures. It's never happened.
And the thing is, you'll stay warm till December.
That's right.
Betcha.
That's right. It's going to be warm till December.
And you'll have snow on Easter.
Probably. Probably going to have a wet winter late in the winter. Anyway, I thought I'd call you because I'm starting to think, I don't think it really matters who gets the Democratic nomination. I think they're going to get elected, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's because when I drive between just here and Huntsville, you know, I live down here in Florence. When I drive to Huntsville, I count at least 24 signs for Ron Paul. And I'm starting to think that this guy is going to be the Ralph Nader of 2008.
Or the Ross Perot.
He's going to work against the Republicans.
Yeah.
Because he seems to be really popular amongst the Hillary-hating faction. The kind of wacky wingnut faction, folks who, the lunatic fringe, they really like him, especially the sort of knee-jerk paleo-conservative types, really seem to like Ron Paul. He's catching fire. I don't know if you saw, but he raised $5 million.
In the last quarter, yeah. Yeah, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, he's catching on.
And I'm glad you mentioned this, Matt, because he is, he's mentioned like some sort of savior of the Constitution. This guy's—he's just another right-wing creep.
Yeah, but he's a libertarian freak, and that's why they like him. He talks a good game as far as, you know, the old-fashioned guns and gays and abortion type thing. But at the same time, he also wants us out of Iraq, which is, you know, increasingly seen as a disaster. And they're,
yeah,
they're
right for the wrong reasons.
I'm sorry?
He's right for the wrong reasons.
Yes, he's right for the wrong reasons. Exactly. But I'm starting to think this is catching fire, and I think this guy's going to be the Ralph Nader of 2008. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that.
Oh yeah, well I saw when I was down there last on my way north, I saw my first Fred Thompson sticker on a car not far from the Alabama-Tennessee line. So I don't know, you know, he was how horrified am I? That man was born in Sheffield. He ain't from Tennessee.
No.
Fred Thompson
no,
was born in
like
Sheffield.
A hometown boy up there in Lawrenceburg, and I keep shaking my head. He's not a hometown Lawrenceburg boy.
He's a Sheffieldian.
Oh, yeah. He's from probably the most depressed part of Alabama, Sheffield, Alabama.
Yeah. Those Republican policies are really kicking ass and taking names for Sheffield, aren't they?
Yeah. The conservative politics has not been kind to Sheffield. Old-fashioned sort of NIMBY-type attitude has not helped there. I don't know if you know this, but that train that goes right through the middle of Sheffield that chokes off the entire city.
Oh, I've been trapped on either side of that thing more times than I can count.
Oh, yeah. You know, you see ambulances stopped there. There's 2,500 rail cars going across it every day. Cuts right through the middle of Sheffield, through all the major avenues. And there was an attempt by the city to move it, but there were five families in Tuscumbia. It did not want the railroad coming through their property or near their property.
So much for that.
Five people versus 15,000.
And, you know, what's wrong? What the hell's wrong with an overpass? You know, I remember.
What the hell is wrong?
I remember, you know, I lived in Florence, Matt. And
yeah.
it was 8 miles doorstep to doorstep from my home to the doorstep of the radio station where I worked. And
mm-hmm.
I remember I would see the train or hear it in the distance and gun it.
Yeah.
And if it looked like I was going to lose on Montgomery Avenue, I'd try to cross over there on the little bypass between 2nd Street and, Avalon Avenue?
Yeah.
And you know, depending on which way the train was going. Yeah, that thing's a nightmare. And, yeah, you're right. I've seen ambulances sitting there, too, with the lights going and somebody dying in the back.
Mm-hmm. And you know that the traffic, the rail traffic over that crossing has gone up four times probably in the last 10 years. I mean, it's even worse now than it was before.
Oh, yeah. Less people working on the railroad, but more freight moving.
That's right. That's right. It's all about the Benjamins. Paying out as few people as possible, as little as possible, as little as you can get away with, and moving as much as possible.
Hey, that's the
miracle. As long as no money is harmed.
Yeah, that's the no money was harmed in the making of this fortune. Yeah, that's the glory of living in a right to work state. You know, it's not necessarily so much the railroad, but it's wages for everything from the guy who sits there working the midnight shift at the Rippy Mart to nurses and technicians and folks like that who are trying to save lives. You know,
that's right.
Everybody is underpaid down there, except maybe the preachers.
Oh, well, you know, the preachers are not underpaid. I don't know if you saw, but apparently there's a big scandal brewing over at Oral Roberts. And that was no
that's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yes, it seems like the only construction around here in northwest Alabama is a new brick mega church. Every time you look, you see a new one going up somewhere.
Yep.
Well, Robin, I have a new website I want to tell you about.
Yeah?
Yeah, osborneinc.com.
Oh, Osborne Inc.?
Yes, INK.
I was going to say.
OSBORNEINK.com.
Yeah?
That's my blog right there. That's where I'm posting all of my opinions and short stories and everything else.
Wow, cool. So, I mean, I get the blog post for South is Strange and stuff there at MySpace, but you've moved it all onto your own standalone?
Yeah, I had to. I mean, I realized a few months back that what I was doing, I was drawing, 5,000 blog readers a week and so forth, and I realized that I was providing the content, and Tom was taking all the ad revenue, unfortunately. So, you got to do what you can to get by. So I decided I needed my own web space.
Well, cool. So, and that's Osborne with an E, OSBORNEINK.com.
Yes.
Posting pretty regularly there, your fiction, your comments, your musings, maunderings, and et cetera?
Posting something every day. I write about three different subjects. I write about music. I do my fiction, and I also write my opinions. So there are some links at the top that you can go around to the different blogs and read the different stuff that I post.
Cool. Well, Matt, it's awfully good to hear from you. I hope you'll make a habit of it.
I will make a habit of it. I was just talking to Kyle about you the other day, and I realized, gosh, I should probably call him and say hello.
You should.
And something he told me? I did not realize this. You grew up on Shade Avenue?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived on Maple.
Oh, no kidding.
That's right.
Now, wait. Which Maple? Because there's two of them.
I lived on Maple Avenue.
Okay, now, it's been so long. So that's, just down and goes up and around and loops.
Yeah,
okay, not the one that's all...
We lived about a block apart, you and I. Didn't even know it till now.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Small world.
Teeny tiny. Matt, take care.
All right, you too.
All right, thanks a lot. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Matt Osborne, osborneinc.com, damn fine writer, OSBORNEINK.com. Man, this is fun. I get to talk to some of the coolest people. And let's move on to the next line. Hey, who have I got?
Well, you've got David in Middle Tennessee.
Hot diggity. How are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well. And I was enjoying that Sweet Home Alabama moment there. By golly, that was pretty close to home.
Right smack dab on top of it.
Well, look, I got two abstract points and then an intensely personal moment that may or may not create a discussion.
Okie doke.
One of the abstract points, the idea that free, safe, available, legal termination of a pregnancy based on a woman's right to choose should definitely not be a state's right issue. I'm really sorry, boys and girls, but that woman that owns that vagina in Oklahoma, Mississippi, or Georgia has just as much right to citizenship as that woman in Minnesota, New York, or Massachusetts.
Precisely.
I really intensely dislike this. It should be a state's right issue. I'm really sorry, boys.
Well, like I said, every time I hear
the bag limit for channel catfish swinging between 6 and 8 should be a state's rights issue, not a woman's right to decide what she does with her immediate and the next 20 years of her life. So that's my first abstract.
Well, that couldn't be better said. But like I said, you know, every time I hear states' rights, the little hairs on the back of my neck go, and you know,
well,
I start hearing Dixie.
To quote the Randy Newman, may I say that?
Yeah.
Very inflammatory.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Randy Newman song title.
Yeah.
Randy Newman, a man that I greatly respect, wrote a song, and it's called "Keeping the Niggers Down." That's what states' rights is about, boys and girls. Let's never ever forget that. That code is chiseled in stone in several states around our country. Now, the second abstract point. Very few men have ever died of pregnancy or childbirth. Very, very, very few.
Infinitesimally so.
Exactly. It has to be a very angry relative of some woman with a shotgun that he can aim properly. But women have been dying in childbirth since the beginning. Since the very beginning. At the moment a woman conceives, she is in a life-threatening situation. The percentages may be small, especially in countries that care about health care like Sweden,
Cuba,
France. Yeah, those countries, yeah, especially those countries, the odds go down. But in America, a pregnant woman is in a life-threatening situation, and she gets to wait 9 months on average to find out if she will A, die, B, give birth to a normal child, C, die giving birth to a normal child, D, yeah.
Give birth to an abnormal child.
Live giving birth to a child that will make her life miserable until she dies.
You know, this is terribly flip on my part, David, but this kind of reminds me of either Bear Bryant or Woody Hayes on throwing the ball.
Oh, yeah, nine things.
Only three things can happen, and two of them are bad.
Exactly. Well, it's more than three, but we'll talk about that later. Now then, I want to get back to something intensely personal, and I will be... Well, a trifle abstract, but it's gonna make the point. We do not dare, as a culture, as a nation, as an electorate, we do not dare let evil, small-minded people bent on perpetuating their rule over the majority kill Roe versus Wade. We dare not do that. And then have to dig out of a hole several times deeper. You know, if they overturn Roe v. Wade, then it's like an incumbent. It's very difficult to get an incumbent out of office. And the reason I say that is my sex life as an 18-year-old began in the fall of 1962, and it began with bright, intelligent women who had one flaw, their eyesight. They were involved in me. But they, every single one, had a phone number or a friend's phone number that knew where the most reliable man with a coat hanger was.
Jesus.
Bob, I'm not kidding about that.
No, I don't think you are.
1962, 1963, women in college making great grades, being officers in their sororities, that had a desire to have sexual intercourse, had a phone number where they could stand the best chance of not dying should they be forced into something they didn't want to be into, or should they make a mistake. And these were not stupid people, but that's the way it was. One of the most bright and intelligent women I went to high school disappeared after her junior year. Why? Because the co-captain of the football team forced himself on her, and there was no alternative. She didn't have a senior year in high school to go have a baby.
Gee.
We don't want to return to that, or do we? George doesn't want to return to that. He won't let that happen to his daughters.
George won't return to that.
I'm sorry?
He won't return to that.
No, he won't, personally.
You know, a few weeks ago...
He wants the rest of the nation to return to that, he says, because it fires up that 22% of America that will walk through broken glass in a snowstorm to pull a lever for one lying, cheating, stealing Republican that tells them, I'm pro-life.
How many times, David, do you think... let's say Senator David Vitter of Louisiana has stood in front of crowds and said, I value life. I'm a pro-life family values Louisiana senator candidate.
He's done it, and when he thinks the memory has faded, he'll do it again. And the guy that was a Republican strategist and a Republican functionary in various parish organizations, he just got caught doing the foot tap slide, you know, to the rusty trombone. That guy all over the internet. Another Louisiana guy wants it dry and sideways in a public bathroom. Sorry, I'm a bit overwrought.
No, that's no. There's no sorry about that. When I was talking to Barbara a little bit ago, I said, you talk about this stuff and you get to the point where hypocrite and hypocrisy just don't have any force anymore. What was it Al Gore said a few weeks ago about the outrages coming from the Bush administration are so fast and so furious and so many that every new outrage forces us to bring another hard drive on board just to download the damned outrage.
Well, of course he's right. He is absolutely correct. But the problem is they, the Republicans, they, the Bushistas, they, the neocons, they, the PNACs, even when you put cold facts and logic in front of them, they don't care. They neglect it because they know within hours, if not minutes, media that will absolutely make their backside clean in any way they want it cleaned is going to step up and glorify, deify, prop them up in every way possible. And if you don't work at it a little bit, the only thing you can get is the White House version of a completely perverted, distort left the building years ago. It's totally perverted. It's Alice in Wonderland. It's twisted.
And, so, you know, bear in mind, a few weeks ago, a little bit before they announced the impending nuptials of Miss Jenna Bush.
Oh, Lordy.
There were pictures of her in those little smocky-looking tops there where she kind of looked like she might have had the baby bump going on.
Really?
Well, that's all gone now, baby.
Oh, I'm sure.
I said that way for a reason, David. Maybe it's that's all baby gone now.
either way, they could do it. I mean, whether she's really pregnant and she's going to have a miraculous birth 7 months after the marriage, well, you know, it's the Rush Limbaugh media adjustment.
Conservative math made easy.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a leap year thing. Republican pregnancies that only take 7 months to deliver an overdue baby.
It's a miraculous thing, Bob. You just don't understand. The Lord visits. Oh, what's that mysterious ways thing?
Oh, the Lord and presidential daughter boyfriends, huh? Mysterious ways.
This baby looks just like a 9-month term baby and only 7 months. Oh, the Lord is looking out for us.
Yeah, right, just like Jed Clampett. Yeah, Jethro was born with a full set of teeth, just like a beaver.
All right, that's enough of that. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure you have important things to do, and I've made as much noise as I should tonight.
But it was a mighty good noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
I did that today, you know, kind of like walking around the yard trying to do things to maybe leave some of my lard in the yard. So, anyway, exercise is good. On that note, I shall depart.
All right. Take care, David.
Take care.
Bye now.
See ya.
Okay, that was a little flip of me comparing the passing football game to... But, you know, my lovely wife has said never is a woman nearer death than when she gives birth. And it's true. And what a profound thing David said. A woman in Mississippi is entitled to the full benefit of citizenship, as is a woman in any other state in this union. So just bear that in mind the next time you hear one of these goobers, one of these Ron Pauls or whatever, say that it's a states' rights issue. Every time a right-winger starts talking states' rights, you know that somebody is a-getting a screwing. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Let's see if this is actually somebody on the phone. Hey, who've I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Gene. How are you?
Hey, Gene, what's up, my friend?
Well, I just had to call in after what Matt said about Ron Paul.
Yeah?
Because I called my mom last weekend. She lives up in Michigan, and I usually call her. So we're talking, you know, politics, and her politics and mine don't match at all. So, you know, she was saying, yeah, my uncle and one of her friends is a real Ron Paul fan, but she was really, she's kind of hoping for Mitt Romney because of how his father has so helped the state of Michigan when he was governor. But the thing that really scared the living bejesus out of me, and I was so glad I was sitting down, because if I weren't sitting down, I would have fell down. She's hoping that if Hillary gets elected, that will pave the way for Laura Bush to run for president.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious. What she wants, and put in her husband's godly policies.
I mean, does that mean the State of the Union has to be delivered with a cigarette-stained cigarette in one finger and a little highball glass with some tequila in it and the lipstick print on it? My fellow Americans,
you never see that. They didn't set out before anybody could notice. You can't.
Well, you know, it would be good for business, because we'd have 4 years of Kathy Malloy doing President Pickles, and you know, those are just precious moments.
I couldn't believe what I was like. Boy, you just don't get out very much, do you, Ma?
I've been hitting the cooking sherry, Mom.
Well, she lives off on that farm, and boy, I didn't think that was as isolated as it apparently is. Anyway, the other thing.
Well, see, you said I called my mom up in Michigan, and my natural comedic instincts wanted to say, "What did you call her?" You know, but after hearing that, I wonder, yeah, mom, are you okay, Mom? You know, is the blood pressure medicine acting up or something? Laura for president, Mom? Oh my God, Mom.
She is nearly is nearly 80.
But you see, the thing is, Laura Bush would first have to run for Senate from, like, Wisconsin.
Something like that. But, oh, it was so scary. I just couldn't believe it. The other thing I did was I split up a story about apparently the reasons the Republicans are all quitting now is they just can't handle the Democratic five-day work week. It's too hard for them. Nine of them have split since the Democrats apparently have been in charge. So I never want to hear another Republican say, oh, those union guys are just lazy so-and-sos. It's like, it's a five-day work week. The rest of us deal with it. Why don't you? So it's on the blog. Feel free to go look.
Okay, over at headonradionetwork.com?
Yep, it's on our blog. It says the GOP congressman, quit because of five-day work week. Or switch to that effect. So it's there. I can't believe that. What a bunch of pussies. Anyway.
Oh, poor Gene, struggling not to say it, but there it was.
I'll let you go and have fun.
Oh, God, I'm having such a blast. You know, you guys are making doing impaired radio a whole lot of fun here, Gene.
Yeah, well, we want to make sure those drugs really work. See you soon.
Yeah, they're kicking in. Later, Gene.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Woo! Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Lupe. Get me another Darvon and a hillbilly highball before I sign this here executive order. Anybody got a joint? Dimebag Laura, President of the United States of America. Something must have gone somewhere right somewhere along the way, because Gene's a great guy. You know, Gene's mom must have done a good job sitting up in Michigan waiting for Laura to run for president. Gene, it's another one of those lines from that's a paraphrase of one of those lines from the Beverly Hillbillies. You got to have a long talk with that woman. Oh God, mercy! And like I said, you know, the world's just a little bit lighter, a little bit brighter. You know, but then again, when your lumbago acts up and then it stops acting up, the world gets a whole lot better. I've got everything but a mustard plaster going for me right now. Now, some of the... Gene mentioned what will happen when Senator Clinton runs for president. And I've got something... Oh, I don't know. We'll try to... I think we'll take a run at it in the final hour. Because it really does take it takes more time than we have to devote to the matter. You remember Barack the Magic Negro? Well, Rush has a new parody that he's out pushing, or satire, or bit, or whatever. We'll listen to it in the second hour. But before that, you remember Bernard Goldberg, Bernie, Weekend at Bernie's. Bad Book by Bernie. Bernie Goldberg showed up on the O'Reilly Factor. You know, his shtick is to push the liberal media. You know, never mind that, you know, Katie Couric in her first 2 weeks there at CBS News, one of the first things she did was announce her free speech segment, in which she would, one of her first guests for the free speech segment was none other than the oxymoron Flush Flemball. Yeah, no, it wasn't Malloy. It wasn't Tom Hartman. Wasn't Stephanie Miller. Wasn't Randy Rhodes. Wasn't Ed Schultz. Wasn't me. Wasn't Sam Cedar. Wasn't Mark Maron. Nope! Liberal media maven Katie Couric invited Flush Flemball. You know, further proof of the liberal bias in the media, according to Bernie Goldberg. But Bernie Goldberg showed up on the O'Reilly Factor talking about major elite media institutions. I don't know what the hell that means. Silk stockings involved, you know, Merino wool trousers. I don't know. but he stuck his foot in it. But, you know, that's what Republicans and right-wingers do. They put their foot in it. Because he was trying to explain how media became so left-leaning. Because, after all, you realize, don't you, that media are left-leaning. Commies, pinkos, and, you know, there's, Les Moonves from CBS walking around with a Che Guevara t-shirt on. Not. And so, in trying to explain how the media got to be so left-leaning, I mean, you know, you really do have to take your acid for this. Or at least I think Bernie Goldberg did. In trying to explain how the media became left-leaning, there was an exchange with O'Reilly. And O'Reilly asks him, the New York Times, which was unfair to Limbaugh this week, as was CNN, MSNBC, and the Los Angeles Times, is at the lowest stock price in 10 years. The network, AB, Network News, ABC, CBS, and NBC have lost 40%, 40, 4-0. Ah, that's a big 4-0 there, rubber ducky, of their audience since September 21st, 1998, 9 years ago. So O'Reilly says, I'm saying to myself, I think it's almost over here. What do you think, Bernie? And Bernie Goldberg, who's still trying to make mileage out of that hideous little poorly researched book of his, said, this problem's been a long time coming. Journalism today is a lot different than it was, let's say, in the 1950s and even the 1960s. And before everybody says, yeah, that's right, that's a good thing, let me say I agree up to a point. Now, wait a minute, okay, there's a reason I'm getting to all this stuff, because we've been, you know, we've had some women's issues discussed on the program, so I think you're going to find this kind of interesting. But back then, there were reporters, some of whom went to college, some didn't. Some people were blue-collar. Some people came from well-to-do families. Some people were Democrats. Some people were Republicans. A lot of journalists served in the military. There was a diversity of opinion back then, which was very important back then. But there was no other back-then kind of diversity back then. Back then, back then, back then. Somebody cue the Leave It to Beaver theme, please. But here it is. Ladies, pitchforks, torches. It's after Labor Day, so you can't wear white when you march on the castle. But then, when women and minorities came into journalism, they pushed the newsroom further and further to the left. Ladies, did you know that a vagina confers communism? I didn't make this up. I got the audio here. We can play it in the next hour if you want to. When women and minorities came into journalism, they pushed the newsroom further and further to the left. Everybody agrees that minorities are overwhelmingly liberal in this country, and so are young women. Ann Coulter just said if women weren't allowed to vote, the Democrats would never win another election. That's the atmosphere in which this stuff with Media Matters is allowed to thrive. So do you see now? My God, can you imagine what it must be to be a right-winger and have to live with all this paranoia just bogging you down? If I understand Bernie Goldberg right, Bill O'Reilly said that he was surprised to find that Sylvia's was a decent restaurant just like any other in New York City, except it was run by black, because there are women and minorities in the media. Flush Flemball said that anyone who disagrees with George Bush on the war and is still serving in the military is a phony soldier because of women and minorities in the media? Wow. Oh, and by the way, these people who hate entitlements and hate welfare, I'll give you a solution. News executives are willing to jump through hoops in the name of racial and ethnic diversity. They ought to jump through a few hoops and start an affirmative action program for conservative journalists. Really? We have to have affirmative action for conservative journalists? Thomas Friedman Jesus, he needs affirmative action? He lives in a $9.5 million house. Holy cats! Yeah, maybe we will do the audio when we come back from the news. Right now, though, we're going to do the news. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to America's liberal voice. It's the voice that you keep out there. It is your voice, if you choose to use it. The phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, Head On, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. We'll be right back. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
This is the Quality News Network. Stock markets rallied, even closing at record highs today. We'll have the details in our business segment. A team with the private security contractor Unity Resources Group opened fire on a car in Baghdad, killing two Iraqi women today. The Dubai-based firm employs former special forces from the U.S., Britain, and Australia. Both the government and the company launched investigations into the incident. The shooting comes at a particularly tense time when the Iraqi government is requesting that security firm Blackwater USA take responsibility for a similar shooting that killed 17 in September. Violence in Iraq killed at least 56 people today. 19 died in suicide car bombings in the north. Those were aimed at a local police chief and Sunni sheikh. A report just released by the White House says that Al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The National Strategy for Homeland Security also said Al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the U.S. The Supreme Court has thrown out a case against the CIA alleging a Lebanese-born German man was kidnapped by agents and tortured for months in a foreign prison. Khalid El-Masri was asking for an apology and $75,000. The ruling said a trial would reveal state secrets. A new bill introduced by top Democrats today would provide new safeguards for citizens' rights when it comes to the U.S. warrantless domestic spying program. Civil liberties advocates say the bill doesn't go far enough, and Republicans warn it will help terrorists. 3 days of intense fighting between Pakistani forces and insurgents along the Afghan border has killed at least 250. Residents say Pakistani airstrikes killed women and children. Some 50,000 locals have fled. In Sudan, another report of attacks in the Darfur region that killed at least 50. An Amnesty International official says the Sudanese army may be trying to attack the area ahead of next month's scheduled peace talks. A government panel recommends irradiators be removed from U.S. hospitals because they fear terrorists could access the radioactive materials to make dirty bombs. The machines are used for radiation therapy and to sterilize blood and food and could be swapped out for less dangerous machines. Union members in Chrysler continue talks ahead of a morning strike deadline. You're listening to QNN.
As the world moves to the Internet for marketing, promotion, sales, and communications, it is important to stake out your presence, your business, or yourself in an effective way. The people at Byte Technology know how to define your best self on the web so that people who know you and those who will want to can get a clear picture of who you are and what you have to offer. Byte Technology will design your website so that you will attract new customers and keep your current client base engaged and informed. As McLuhan said, the medium is the message. And never was that more true than in the new Internet commerce world. Whatever your business, selling products or services, to the general public or to a niche market, you need a presence that smart people, the people who make the best customers, can find quickly and understand immediately. Byte Technology will custom produce such a site for you. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
The U.S. Explorer spacecraft New Horizons has sent back images of rings around Jupiter, huge swirling storms on the surface of the planet, and lightning strikes at the planet's poles. The craft is actually on its way to Pluto. NASA released its findings in today's journal Science. Mild winter may be in the offing, but across the nation, it'll cost more to heat U.S. homes. A U.S. Energy Department report out today estimates heating oil costs will jump 22%. Natural gas will rise 10%. A new study shows that Google is the choice of most Internet users searching for something on the web. ComSource reports that in August, more than 37 billion searches worldwide, or 60%, were done with Google. Beer makers Coors and Miller have agreed to join forces to better compete with industry leader Anheuser-Busch. The joint venture will be called Miller Coors. And Federal Reserve officials were unanimous in their decision to lower rates last month. Any future moves will depend on the economy's performance in the next few weeks. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.26 a barrel, gold at $743.10 an ounce. And the markets hit some new records today. The Dow Jones was up 120 points at 14,164. The NASDAQ was up 17. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Alrighty then. Yeah, 8.5 minutes after the hour. A little late to get to the news. Oh, what the heck. Who's crying? And now, lest I be accused of dubbing up Bernie Goldberg's words, let's hear them for what they are. You okay with that? Let's do. An exchange between Falafel Man O'Reilly and Bernard Goldberg, please.
Which was unfair to Limbaugh this week, as was CNN, MSNBC, and the Los Angeles Times, is at the lowest stock price in 10 years. The network news, ABC, CBS, and NBC, have lost 40%, 40 of their audience since September 21st, 1998, 9 years ago. So I'm saying to myself, I think it's almost over here. What do you think?
This problem has been a long time coming. Journalism today is a lot different than it was, let's say, in the 1950s and even the 1960s. And before everybody says, yeah, that's right, and it's a good thing, let me say, I agree. I agree up to a point. But back then, there were reporters, some of whom went to college, some didn't. Some people were blue-collar, some people came from well-to-do families. Some people were Democrats, some people were Republicans. A lot of journalists served in the military. There was diversity of opinion back then, which was very important, but there was no other kind of diversity. But then, Bill, when women and minorities came into journalism, they pushed the newsroom further and further to the left. Everybody agrees that minorities are overwhelmingly liberal in this country, and so are young women. Ann Coulter just said, if women weren't allowed to vote, the Democrats would never win another election. That's the atmosphere in which this stuff with Media Matters is allowed to thrive.
You heard it. Can't make this stuff up. Just can't. You know, it's moments like this I miss having Agnes back here behind the board with me behind the microphone. Because, you know, I love her dearly. But sometimes it's downright interesting to watch the variety of different colors that woman can turn when she gets really, really worked up and righteous pissed. Uh, whoever's, where did this notion come from that Bernard Goldberg had any credibility? See, that's because he doesn't. Bernard Goldberg tapped in to the right-wing yearning. See, it's always you people, those liberals. You know, we could get our message across and America would understand and love us if it wasn't for the liberal media. Well, the liberal media is twisting our, they're twisting our message. The liberal media made it sound like we thought we were going to win the war in Iraq. I mean, this guy's the crazy old dude at the end of the bar that you know, talks about his alien abduction and the probes that he got, you know, once he hits beer 16. Oh, give me another one, barkeep. Did I ever tell you about the time I went up in the flying saucer? This is a very liberal flying saucer. They're liberal aliens. And that's why they anal probed me. Because they were liberal. This is the way it is with these liberal aliens. And see, they've got the pod people. And that's what liberals are. They're pod people. And minorities and women. Alien pod people and women and minorities. They've made the media all liberal. Liberals. You see, because back then there used to be blue-collar people. But then the alien women minority liberals came along, and conservatives need affirmative action. And I need another beer. Now give me a shot with this beer. I don't think I'm drunk enough. But that's not the end of it. Oh, here. Oh, I just had a request. It's almost like back when I was a DJ. We're doing requests now. You remember the Tap Three Times Larry Craig song from a couple of nights ago on Peter Godbold's Strictly Confidential? There's another one. The Capitol Steps also couldn't resist. You know, I guess Tap Three Times just sort of comes naturally in this situation. So let's have a little interlude, if you don't mind, for the Capitol Steps version of Larry Craig and Tap Three Times.
Ladies and gentlemen, Senator Larry Craig.
Hey there, what you doing out there? Here in this men's room, these stall could be 10 rooms for romance. I can hear somebody going. I can hear the dryer blowing. You've got a flight soon, but I think I might soon have no pants. Oh, my sweet meat, tap three times on the pipe if you want me. Twice on the pipe if you brought me a leash. Oh, my darling, means you'll meet me in the jetway. Come on, knock on the door if you're not the police. This, of course, does not mean I'm gay. Sex isn't gay if it's done by two straight guys together. Though I am an Idaho man, maybe I could play the woman. I'm pleading guilty, I'm hung like Milty Burr was. Oh, my sweet thing, tap three times if you'd like some Senate polling. Put your hand down below if you might like to meet. Oh, my sweet thing, I'm your stud from a state that's famous for its spuds. You know that they go with meat, so grab this Senate seat. I'm not gay.
The Capitol Steps with their version of Tap Three Times. Oh, brother. But while we're at it, let's just get all the audio out of the way. We need to start. You know, I know that I'm broadcasting under the influence tonight. So I just keep going back to the little page here and just checking out Bernie Goldberg's words. Just, they ought to jump through a few hoops and start an affirmative action program for conservative journalists. Wow. You know, this is the scene in any old comedy where the drunk reaches into his coat pocket and pulls out the flask and whoop over the shoulder. Yeah. Mmm. An affirmative action program for conservative journalists. You read it here first. But that's okay. There's more. Oh, God. There's more. Flush Flimball. Am I being suckered into giving this guy free publicity? I don't know. We'll find out. But Flush Flimball picked up a spoof that he found out on the internets somewhere. And I want you to, you know, we've got the lead in for it and everything, and him explaining why it is he's playing it. Yeah, he's playing it because he thinks he'll get a rise out of his little, you know, walnut-brained right-wing listeners. And that, I guess, is the surface, but you know, it's the still waters that run deep that really matter. These people are so ready for Hillary Clinton. These people are so achingly ready for Senator Clinton to be the Democratic nominee for president. My God, they've been working on the smear campaign since 1992. 15 years they've been waiting for this. Here we go.
One more bite here before we go to the break and then get back to calls. You've got to hear this. This is being emailed all over the place. You may have heard it because this is it's funny. It's a new ad. It's a spoof ad from DNC Pharma. It's a Bruce Chapman production, DNC Pharmaceuticals, a new ad for a drug that they have recently introduced to the market. Try forgetting.
I had this terrible sense of anxiety, this unshakable sense of doom, but that was before I tried Try Forgetting.
If you're a supporter of Hillary Clinton and you have a nagging fear that her shameful past will come back to ruin her election chances, this message of hope is for you.
Her shameful past? Did somebody confuse something somewhere along the way? Has somebody confused Senator Clinton with, you know, Jenna Bush? Falling on the floor with a cigarette in one hand and a long neck beer in the other on top of one of her girlfriends? Her shameful past? Oh, Jesus, here we go.
DNC Pharmaceuticals presents Try Forgetting, more than just a drug, a way of coping.
Hillary was in charge of destroying the reputations of the women Bill sexually harassed.
Huh?
That used to bother me. Then I tried Try Forgetting. Now I don't even remember what a bimbo eruption is.
When I tried Try Forgetting, I completely forgot about the missing files from Vince Foster's office.
Oh, stop it! Vince Foster's, why can't we have some gunfire in the background and the sound of an exploding watermelon and Dan Burton from Indiana, that right-wing freak, screaming, I got it, I got it, I done proved it!
The Madison Guarantee swindle, money for pardons, it's all just gone. Thanks to Try Forgetting, I believe there really is a vast right-wing conspiracy that makes Bill jump into the sack with all those girls.
Here's the best part. I even forgot...
All those girls? And they're girls, by the way. They're girls. Not women, not ladies, girls. Words mean things, you see. Words mean things. See, what they don't understand is girls are like the little five-year-old girl that right-wing Republican upstanding holier-than-thou federal prosecutor from Florida who offed himself flew to Michigan with a doll baby and a tube of Vaseline to go visit. That's a girl! But I digress.
That Hillary stood by her husband even when she learned that he'd raped Juanita Broderick.
Woo! Just a confounded, conflab-nasted, blag-staggin minute. Let's catch all of this in context.
All just gone. Thanks to Try Forgetting, I believe there really is a vast right-wing conspiracy that makes Bill jump into the sack with all those girls.
Here's the best part. I even forgot that Hillary stood by her husband even when she learned that he'd raped Juanita Broderick. Thank you, Try Forgetting. Thank you, DNC Pharmaceuticals. I definitely recommend Try Forgetting to all my fellow Democrats. It made a difference between... What was I saying?
Side effects are generally mild and include nausea, dizziness, and loss of self-esteem. In more severe cases, side effects include delusions of victory, irrational exuberance, and the complete suspension of rational judgment.
Try Forgetting. Whatever it takes to win.
What did you throw at the wall? I threw a book. She stood by her husband even when she learned that he had raped Juanita Broderick. Really? Was I on drugs during the rape trial? Did I forget that? Did I forget the rape trial of Bill Clinton? For raping Juanita Broderick? Now, granted, Bill Clinton is a public figure. Senator Hillary Clinton is a public figure. And so the New York Times versus Sullivan standard that requires that speech about them in order to be libelous or slanderous be a product of actual malice is supposedly a high standard. But the fact of the matter is, actual malice is a jury question. You give me 12 Americans tried and true, and you give them the facts, and you put Flush Flimball on trial, and whoever the little sleaze gut bucket was that produced this piece of humor. And ask those 12 persons tried and true if, given the hell and damnation that they dragged the Clinton family through for God how many years, ask them if there was any way to produce this thing without actual malice. And that jury will tell you, no, there isn't. That this is a product of actual malice. She stood by her husband when she found out he had raped Juanita Broderick. Bill Clinton didn't rape Juanita Broderick at all. That whole sleazy allegation was wholly, completely, and utterly... Never mind. See, this is the kind of moment where you look up and you go, oh my God, this is what we're in for if we nominate Senator Clinton. Because, now I know the people that support Senator Clinton say, yeah, but she's a fighter, she'll fight back, she'll bust them, by God! How's she gonna? Who's gonna give her the airtime? Now, Bernie Goldberg can sit there, drunkard and Adam's off ox, and complain about how you can't get a conservative viewpoint on the mainstream media. But the fact of the matter is, we already know from the first Clinton presidency that the mainstream media laps up like a kitten going to a dish of cream any sleazy filth that comes out of the fax machines and the blast emails and the spam machines of the Republican National Committee. Because it's a hell of a lot easier than actually being a journalist. So for those who say, yeah, she fights back, she won't take that stuff, she'll bitch slap them, you know, whatever. It ain't gonna happen because the national news media will not let it happen. This is not 1992, and it's not Paul Begala, and it's not James Carville, and it's not the war room, and it's not the economy, stupid. And you can't fight back if you are not... You can't fight a war with a man who buys ink by the barrel. And even if you've got your own printing press, if they won't let you have any ink, you're not going to fight back. And this is electronic sunshine, and six corporations control every blessed word that goes out over the electric TV box. And you know what? It's going to be all sleaze all the time. Now, let's assume for a moment that Senator Clinton is elected president. You think they're going to stop then? You think they're going to let up? You think anything's going to get done? No, it's not. Because from Inauguration Day forward, it's going to be a steady drumbeat of, Hillary Clinton lost the war in Iraq. We heard General Petraeus' testimony before Congress when they couldn't even be bothered to put him under oath. He said we was making progress. He said we was about to win. He was getting ready to bring the USS Missouri right up the Euphrates River so that Al-Qaeda could surrender to us. But Hillary Clinton lost the war in Iraq. I'm just saying. That's what you're going to get. And it's going to be 24/7 sunshine. And it's going to be MSNBC and CNBC and CBS and NBC and ABC and CNN and Headline News and Fox and Glenn Beck and O'Reilly and John Gibson and, oh, I don't know, God only knows, Nancy Grace's head will probably flip and explode on screen. She'll be screaming for the indictment of Hillary Clinton as a war criminal. While all this time we sit in our lonely silence while real war crimes are committed in our name, in the filthy, stinking, bloody sands of Iraq, and in the godforsaken mountain passes of Afghanistan. And we've got allegations. I forgot about her shameful past. Jesus, it makes it sound like she was walking around with a tight, you know, with a tight cashmere sweater with the letter A embroidered on it, for the love of God. Just saying. Just saying. Let's go to the phones and talk to Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program. Oh, I got to push the other button. Sorry. Hey, Jim.
Hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Well, I think after that I'm going to put some scotch in my IV pole.
That sounds like a damn good idea to me. go for the 25-year-old. Don't, you know, treat yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, nothing but the best for these things. You know, that stuff that they're putting out is about as funny as hydrophobia.
Yeah.
It really is. And pretty soon they're going to have a thing from Hillary's hairdresser saying that she has found 3 6s somewhere on the back of her head.
Oh, yeah, or, you know, or that she touches up her roots, or, you know, we've had the Washington Post covering her cleavage. We've had Cacklegate now. We've had detailed, in-depth journalistic analysis of how Senator Clinton laughs.
Well, they're going to have a gynecological moment. You know they're going to have that.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, not menopause gate. I don't know if I'm up for that.
Well, either that or PMS gate. Who knows? I don't know. It's just incredible what these people come up with. But, you know, that's just... That shows you how low things have gotten, and, you know, they're going to be bird-dogging her. Like you said, it's just going to be, a woman hunt. And I don't know, you know, why anybody would want to go into public office facing that crap. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Well, anyway, I appreciate your version of Tap Three Times. Now, where did you find this?
Our friend Lottie in the chat room shipped that to me. It comes from the Capitol Steps.
Is that a website?
They're a parody group. I imagine if you search on YouTube or whatever, you'll probably find them. They're a parody musical group that writes politically oriented satire. They call themselves the Capitol Steps.
Okay. Well, do you think Mrs. Clinton will be the nominee for sure?
Barring something completely untoward, yes, because she has been pre-selected.
Listen, there's something I want to ask you. You are much more informed about these things than I. I sort of dropped out since 2004, and that's to my own detriment. But, you know, after a while, you just get tired. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, outrage fatigue.
But what is this about Dennis Kucinich's wife having her tongue pierced?
Boy, now you said you lined up. You set all of this up by saying that you were out of the loop and you're ahead of the loop on. I've had no idea.
I heard that from somewhere.
Not that I much care. I mean, she's certainly proven her street cred in terms of, you know, the years she spent in Africa working with people trying to improve their lives, you know, all the decent stuff that she's done. I don't care what she's got pierced.
Well, that's more Goebbels stuff, more crap they put out then.
So they're coming after Mrs. Kucinich now, are they?
Yeah, they're saying she had her tongue pierced.
More power to her, you know, whatever.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah, I mean, trust me, I'm not running down to the parlor anytime soon.
Well, I mean,
I got a shot of muscle relaxer in my backside today and just about cried like a baby. I'm a real pain sissy.
Well, and here's the other thing. You know, the one that's really coming up on the horizon is that asshole Fred Thompson.
He is that, but the funny thing is it's like he's like some sort of neutron star of political momentum, because the further he goes, the less he has.
I don't know, Bob. I'll tell you, I am scared of that man, and I'm scared that people will actually vote for him. I really am. That has been a nightmare of mine ever since he threw his hat in the ring. I used to watch him of course, you know, I'm a Roseanne freak, and I used to watch him when he was on Roseanne, when Roseanne worked at Wellman Plastics, and he
yeah.
was her supervisor.
Yeah.
And he was the worst misogynist and played the most onerous role you could possibly play. I mean, and, you know, I could just imagine if the Democrats don't start, you know, doing something, like I said before, they're going to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, and we're going to end up with that guy. Can you imagine what the world would be like if this country would be like if Fred Thompson were elected?
Well, there's only one way that assuming Fred Thompson gets the nomination, there is only one way he can be elected president, and that is if Hillary Clinton is the Democratic nominee.
Well, you know, I don't know who else we really have, to tell you the truth.
I like John Edwards' ideas.
I do, too. Start getting across.
Barack Obama keeps saying stuff that really disturbs me. Maybe our buddy Kevin in D.C. is right. Maybe he's running for vice president.
Well, maybe so, but it's just one of those things that... I have this horror of Fred Thompson.
And, you know, would I be absolutely thrilled to pieces if Al Gore would enter the race? I think I'd go out and dance naked in the moonlight, Jim. I would be that excited. I know the visual is not doing anybody any good.
Well, I'd be there with you, so, I mean, you know, we could really scare some people on I-77. But honestly, truly, I would...
I glow in the dark. I mean, you know, what the hell?
Well, really, Al Gore would be the man that, you know... I don't know how that's coming. If he's had anything to say, but you know, I don't think he will.
I don't either.
He went through. I wouldn't blame him. I mean, he's found his place in history, and you know, he's doing a lot of good. But I do wish that he would. That's for sure. Because the idea of what would be going on with Hillary Clinton in the White House and how they would just.
Oh, I don't think she'd conduct herself anything but presidentially, don't get me wrong.
Oh, no.
And I think that Hillary Clinton, Senator Clinton, would be about a million, billion, jillion times better than any of the freaks running for the Republican nomination.
Oh, I do, too. I have nothing against Senator Clinton, to tell you the truth. I really don't, except some of the things she said. But, I mean, you know. If push comes to shove, if I'm able to vote,
I will have the sign in my yard, Jim, and I will advocate for her election. And I know that pisses off some diehard progressives and liberals, but you know what? I cannot stand, like you, I sit in just mute, abject horror of the idea of a Fred Thompson presidency or a Rudy Giuliani presidency or a Mitt Romney combs his hair with olive oil and a fork presidency. Any of those. Ron Paul terrifies the life out of me. That man would go after Social Security with a dadgum net and a shotgun.
Well, so with Fred Thompson, they're saying they were kind of stuff on the radio about him today over the old radio station downtown. I don't know. I'll tell you, it's just a, it's a bad thing when you have to go to the polls to hold your nose.
Well, it is, but consider, Fred Thompson is a default position for misogynists, ignorant rednecks, the stubborn, stiff-necked, woman haters, Clinton haters.
Who do you think populates those red states? The red states.
Right, you got to understand, and this just bugs the hell out of me. I mean, you and I, Jim, we're both Southerners. You're South Carolina, and I'm Alabama and West Virginia. And
you think so.
Come on, Jim. You know what's going to happen.
I lived down there for years, Bob.
Oh, I know. I did too. But you know what's going to happen. Senator Clinton's campaign for the presidency of the United States will be another one of these campaigns where we write off entire segments of the United States because they're deemed too high hanging fruit to go after.
Right.
And so it will be another one of these strategies that tries to garner a presidency by virtue of winning Washington, Oregon, California, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, New York, Massachusetts, yada, 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 and fight over Florida.
Right.
Well, we've seen this movie, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and it's getting real tired. You know, honestly, truly, as a matter of fact, it's... And it'll be the same business as usual with the voting machines and all this kind of stuff. They'll be pulling something out. So.
Now, the only way that scenario changes at least a little bit in terms of degree, Jim, is if the contest is between Senator Clinton and Rudy Giuliani. Then I don't know what the South is going to do. Probably vote for Ron Paul. If he'll run a third party candidacy,
they'd probably vote for RuPaul if that happened. If they had to,
just about, because you got two New Yorkers that are gonna show the Southern people how to wear shoes.
You know, I may be from the South. I was born there, but it's kind of like you said one night. You know, I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I just realized how antiquated and antediluvial their thinking is.
Well, yeah.
It's just not to be, I just don't understand it. The only person I've ever read who understands the Southern mentality is Florence King, which is a lady you need to read.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, God knows I've spent my fair share of time with William Faulkner and Eudora Welty. And who wrote Hard Man's Good or A Good Man's Hard to Find?
Dadgummit. I can't remember either.
Very Southern, very Gothic. I've read my Thomas Wolfe. I understand the mindset. I think.
Yeah, but those people were belong to another generation. You know that.
True. True.
And I was just thinking of a modern day writer who basically understands the Southern mind,
sure,
and mentality, and Florence King is definitely one of them. In Southern Ladies and Gentlemen, and Confessions of a Failed Southern Woman, I mean, she really does understand a lot of that. And if you haven't read any of her stuff, I would strongly suggest that you do.
I'll try to get my hands on some.
Yeah, she's just incredible.
But the presidential election of two, I don't find a lot of scenarios that give me much comfort. What was it? Barack Obama and Senator Clinton, they asked them both if they would commit to having all American troops out of Iraq by 2013, and neither one of them would. Do I have that right? I know Senator Clinton wouldn't make that commitment.
Well, when you you've got 160,000 troops. That's how many we have, right?
No, we've got 130. There's 160,000 mercenaries.
Mercenaries?
Yeah, you know.
And I think, how many contractors? 180,000?
That's what I'm talking. You say contractors, I say mercenaries.
Okay, well. Ah, boy, that money is putting a lot of, that thing is putting a lot of money in people's pockets, and, you know, good Lord, it's just such a mess. It really is.
Yeah, I love that line Matt gave us a few minutes ago. No money was harmed in the making of this war.
No. Lost, but not harmed.
No, it's not lost. The people who need to know where it is damned well know where to find it, Jim.
I'll bet they do, in all of its strength wrap, that's for sure. How much I got? Well, I don't know. This is the kind of situation that basically, if we have an election, if Bush doesn't pull some kind of stunt with Iran and try to cancel it, I don't know. That also has bothered me too. They would try something like that. You know, I really believe there are possibilities that they're saving.
Oh, Jim, the business with Israel slipping its air force across the Syrian border to take out the Syrian nuclear installation. Everything is just lining up into, you know, second verse same as the first.
Yeah. A lot of propaganda and I don't know. It's the worst kind of stuff since the story that Hitler made up in order to invade Poland, you know?
Yeah, that little radio station on the frontier.
You got it. I mean, that's the kind of stuff it reminds me of, and maybe I'll appear to be unpatriotic when I say that, but, you know, I'm a lot of things, but I'm not stupid, and I know what people do, and I know what these people will do to maintain the levers of power.
You know the evil that lurks in the mind of man.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, and I would like to think otherwise, and sometimes I have expressed more optimistic things, but I just can't really do that right now because it's just not there to be had, and there's no way that I can, you know, conjure it up. I wish I could.
Me too.
I don't know. Well, maybe if Fred Thompson does get it, I'm going to have to call Dr. Buzzer down in Pocatalico, South Carolina, and see if I can put a root on him. That makes about as much sense as anything I've said so far.
Jim, go get the best 25-year-old you got and head for the IV stand.
I think I'll do it, but thank you for playing the tap three times. I think that's the funniest thing I've ever heard. In a long time. Thank you.
You take care, Jim.
I'll do it.
Bye now.
Bye.
Let's see. Last night it was Mitt Romney explaining to the young lady from Harvard that the future would bring an answer to the question of whether or not programs that had been promised to his generation would be burdened by hers. And I thought that was pretty much sleazy. That's evil. It was an astonishing degree of just cheesy divisiveness. But then I found something else over at bradblog.com. And I hope to goodness I still have it linked up here because, you know, it's another one of those hear them in their own words kind of moments. I've got to find the computer's running a little slow. There it is. Over at the Department of Justice, they have a voting rights section under the Civil Rights section. Civil Rights Division and the Voting Rights Section of that division. And the head of that organization, that section, division, whatever, is a guy named John Tanner. As Brad Friedman notes, We'll repeat it again. He's the chief of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division at the United States Department of Justice. Was giving his opinion regarding photo ID requirements for people who vote. And he was more particularly giving his opinion regarding the elderly. You know, a lot of old people don't have driver's licenses anymore. So they're not going to have a photo ID, so they're therefore not going to be able to vote. John Tanner is quite concerned, as you will hear, I hope. Ah, come on, dadgummit, load. Okay, this is the frustrating part of producing your own show. Maybe or maybe not. Okay, I'll just tell you. If the audio starts, we'll bring it up. He said, at the second annual convention of the National Latino Congress in Los Angeles, that, Lord God, he said it's a shame that the elderly may be disenfranchised by photo ID laws, but then again, minority voters don't become elderly, they die first. No, really. Tanner, of course, states that voter ID laws are very much a state-by-state issue. Oh, states' rights again. What did David say? How many catfish you can have on a string? That's a states' rights issue. The enfranchisement or disenfranchisement of citizens of the United States? No, that's not states' rights. With regard to the voter ID laws, he said, quote, I think it's probably true that among those who don't, it's probably primarily elderly persons, those who don't have photo IDs. It's primarily elderly persons. And that's a shame. You know, creating problems for elderly persons just is not good under any circumstances. Of course, that also ties in with a racial aspect, because our society is such that minorities don't become elderly the way that white people do. They die first. So anything that disproportionately impacts the elderly has the opposite impact on minorities. Just the math is such as that the minorities in Georgia statistically slightly are more likely to have ID because they're less likely to be old, because minorities don't get to be old in America. Every now and then, you just sort of peel back the curtain and the... No, it's actually a coffin or closet or something. And you can hear, really and honest to Jesus for truly, how they think. This guy probably makes a six-figure salary. He is head of the Department of Justice voting section of the Civil Rights Division. And it's a shame that folks can't vote if they're elderly because they don't have any photo ID. But, you know, we don't have to worry about that. Anybody complaining that minorities can't vote because minorities don't get old in America. They die first. If this was coming from anybody but our good friend Brad Friedman, I'd run over to Snopes, because I'd be thinking, you know, not even a Republican in his most sleazy, filthy, nasty moment would say something as vile as that. But you know what? Brad Friedman took a video camera and he clicked the little button and he held it on, and there was John Tanner. Yada yada yada. But minorities don't get old in America; they die first. Now, this opens up the door on, you know, just a whole range of inquiry. A whole range of philosophical discussion on the nature of America. Why do minorities not get to be old in America?
Well, they got them some poor lifestyle habits there, Bob. You know, sitting around eating all that watermelons and fried chicken and chitlins. Not good for you. And they got the high blood pressure, and they got the sugar diabetes, and then there's that sickle cell.
Well, maybe we should have national...
Communist!
National, universal health...
Socialist!
Maybe everybody should be able to go to the doctor.
Jesus hater!
Nah, it came from Brad. It's real. Brad don't do no fake news. No. So you got John Tanner commenting on the eugenics of being old in America. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got right-wingers like Michelle Malkin attacking a 12-year-old. A boy by the name of Graham Frost. 2 weeks ago, the Democratic radio address in response to George Bush was delivered by Graham Frost, a 12-year-old Maryland boy. He and his family were involved in a horrifying car wreck 3 years ago. His life was saved because he had CHIPS, the Children's Health Insurance Program. You know, the plan that George Bush wants to have die! And the Republicans are having a hissy because the Democrats dared to put a human face on what George Bush has done. And they are smearing. They are smearing, sleazing, swift boating a 12-year-old boy. And they're just making up crap.
Oh, he lives in far too nice a house to be poor enough to have CHIPS. They must be defrauding the government. They've got a lavish house. He goes to a $40,000 a year private school, he does.
He's on scholarship. His parents pay $500 a year. He's a smart little boy. His sister Gemma Frost got her brains racked in the same accident. She attends another private school to help her with the brain injuries. It's $23,000 a year to go there.
She goes to private school. They're ripping off the chip. They're not poor enough. They're frauds.
The state of Maryland pays the entire cost of the rehab in the private school. Michelle Malkin has led this sleaze strategy. See, this is one of the reasons I'm glad I'm not a Republican. I don't have to participate in this kind of crap. I don't have to sleaze 12-year-olds. I don't have to slime 12-year-olds. I don't have to attack 12-year-olds in defense of a moron at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue who has the morals of a snake. Let's see who's on the phone real quick. Hey, who have I got?
This is Alan.
Hey, Alan. How you doing, friend?
Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Got a couple of minutes here before we wind up.
Yeah, I was thinking when I was going down the road the other day that after every presidency, you know, years after somebody's been president, their term is up, we find out all kinds of strange things about their personal life. I just wonder what in the world are they going to dig up about this guy who's in the White House now.
I don't. Well, you know, he's tried to make it so that his presidential papers get absolutely sealed away, So I don't know if we'll learn anything that we don't already know in the first place, Alan. We know he's a moron. We know he's hard. We know he's got the. We know that he's vicious. We know that he's petty. We know that he's cruel.
Yeah, I would think there's a lot of skeletons in this closet, or a lot of things going to come out. I imagine he really has a sick personality. I would think they'll come find out that one day he's going to not want to be president. Next day he's going to. He's acting like a war president, just like somebody who's on drugs.
Precisely like that. He's a dry drunk. He never went through recovery, and his brain is rotted from all the stuff that he's passed through it, Alan.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking my call.
It's always a pleasure. We're just almost out of time, that's all.
Okay, thanks.
Take care, Alan. Drive safe. Our good friend Alan out on the road. That's it. Coming up next, the most fabulous conversation radio program on the planet, Strictly Confidential, with your host, Peter Godbold. Quite a show in store. Think you'll enjoy it. Many thanks to Peter Godbold, who is also our IT consultant, and to our chief engineer, John Fox, as well. Of course, if you appreciate what happens on the horn, if you get something out of horn programming, then you also appreciate the hard, hard work of the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, at WhiteRoseSociety.org. And I'll remind you, we are still working toward our goal of reaching our monthly requirement of $2,000 just to keep this independent medium going. And we certainly do thank you for all of your kind support and the dedication that makes it possible, both mentally, physically, and spiritually, to get up and do this every day. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. A report just released by the White House says that Al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report titled, quote, National Strategy for Homeland Security, end quote, also said Al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the U.S. A government panel recommends irradiators be removed from U.S. hospitals because they fear terrorists could access their radioactive materials to make dirty bombs. The machines are used for radiation therapy and to sterilize blood and food and could be swapped out for less dangerous machines. Newly declassified documents reveal that the potential for using radioactive poisoning to assassinate foreign figures was approved at the highest levels of the U.S. Army in 1948. The effort apparently died in the mid-50s. The Supreme Court has denied, without comment, an appeal by a Lebanese-born German who sued the U.S. government for $75,000 for allegedly having been kidnapped in Macedonia in 2003 and flown to Afghanistan, where he was tortured for 5 months. The 44-year-old man said that he was traumatized by the experience. At least 250 people have died over the last 4 days amid intense fighting between Pakistani forces and Taliban insurgents along the Afghan border. Residents who are said to be fleeing the area by the thousands say many civilians died. It's the heaviest fighting in months in the Waziristan region, an area the U.S. refers to as an Al-Qaeda safe haven. In Sudan,